This free program is paid for by the listener members of KPFT Houston. If you're not already a member, think about joining with us to help keep free speech alive. Bump your head, oh, anal sex, spread your reader cheese. Up the fuck, bob, up the fuck, let's hear it for the priest. Hey, anal sex, shrinkers all aglow. Bound the bump of Cap and Dictum for the Idaho.
Then it's squat and thrust, little pocket hole, doing what it must. The chocolate channel churn, a Hershey highway hole, grind and shove and plow and grab, just jab and jab and jump. Oh, anal sex, be a factor whore. Let a burly muscle man expand your ring of joy. Hey, anal sex, back your pipe with pork. Kosher in New Orleans, San Francisco and New York. Bar, foothold in the air.
Warning. The following program contains subject matter that portrays gay, lesbian, bisexual, and transgendered people as first-class citizens, deserving of an equal share of the American dream. Topics like this are known to piss off televangelists, backwater preachers, some talk show hosts, blue-haired biddies, several members of Congress, and other socially unacceptable outcasts like radical right-wing nut jobs. Listener discretion is strongly advised.
Have tuned into After Hours Queer Radio with Attitude, a continuing tradition here on KPFT 90.1 FM. The crew of After Hours is ready to bring you news, interviews, discussions, and music geared to the gay, lesbian, bisexual, transgender community and our allies. We are a diverse group here, but we all have one thing in common. We are out of the closet and urge everyone to come out of his or her closet as well. That means recognizing who you are, standing up for yourself and your rights, and being proud of who you are. We understand that this might not be possible due to age, job, or frame of mind, but remember, we are here especially for you. So kick back and relax and get ready for this week's edition of After Hours.
It's 2 o'clock on the East Coast, 11 p.m. on the West Coast, and here in the throbbing heart of the Montrose, this is the show that puts the ho-ho-ho in holidays. It's After Hours. Queer Radio with Attitude. All the other good stuff, listener sponsored, commercial free, blah, 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 blah. My name is Chris Harrison. I'll be your producer for this evening. Jimmy Carper's out reliving his youth. That's right. Elizabethan England. He's out dicking on the Strand. So he won't be joining us. I'll tell other dirty secrets about him. He's sleeping with a woman.
Oh?
Yeah. His friend came in from Seattle, and they share a bed. Ew! Alrighty. He didn't give me any of the paperwork, so I have nothing really on the calendar except a couple of things to throw in people's ears. As I wait for the computer to open up, P-Flag Houston December meeting on Sunday, December 3rd, from 2 to 4:30 at St. Paul's United Methodist Church, 5501 South Main at Binns. It's their annual finger... I skipped a line. I saw fingers and I went to it. It'll be our annual holiday party, a good time to bring friends along. Please bring finger food to share. They begin with small sharing groups at 2, then gather for the party at 3:15. Groups provide everyone an opportunity to discuss issues, concerns, and celebrations with others in a safe, confidential environment. They'll be meeting in the Activity Center of St. Paul's Church, opposite the building where they usually meet. For more information, go to pflaghouston.org or call them on the PFLAG hotline, 713-46-PFLAG. For those of you who are new... character challenge, 713-467-3524. Fortunately, they put those in there.
Can you say that in Spanish or something?
I'm not that good with that kind of a Spanish tongue. a little thing coming up on the TV here soon. On Monday, December 11th, A&E has a show called Wedding Wars. It's a movie. A romantic comedy from executive producers so-and-so. John Stamos plays a gay party planner who agrees to organize the nuptials for his straight brother, Ben, to Maggie, the governor of Maine's daughter.
They're really reaching for that one.
Yeah. The governor of Maine's James Brolin.
Brolin.
He's behind... And After Shell finds out that Ben, a campaign manager for his future father-in-law, is behind the governor's speech against gay marriage, he decides to go on strike for equal rights. The strike picks up steam and eventually spreads nationwide, leaving the impending wedding vows in the hands of tacky planners and overall in question. It seems interesting. I mean, they changed their logo for it. Annie has
I saw that with the little rainbow.
Yeah, that's what caught my eye. I was like, what the? Yeah, John Stamos, Eric Dane.
With a name like Dane, you can't go back.
Yeah, he's playing Ben. He was in X-Men and Grey's Anatomy. James Brolin.
Ben, what's his last name?
Oh, no. Dover. I had to go there, you know. Well, you know, I don't mind going. I should be careful. Last time you were on, this is... Oh, I got to start.
You're walking well again, by the way.
Oh, yes. It's December, so of course we are starting with our Christmas music. And I actually dedicated those to some people online.
Don't we now, our gay apparel.
Oh, this was worse than that. The Bottom Line was the first song, although, you know, I kept hearing anal sex. My therapist would like to hear about that story. And after that, What Price Glory? And those were both by the Go-Go Boys. Cutesy little songs. We don't play your standard... Well, we do. You know, I've got plenty of Gay Men's Chorus CD sitting over here that Jimmy just loves to play. I, on the other hand, start off the Christmas season by playing a song called Anal Sex, another one that has the word glory holes in it. Gee, where's my mind at? So, it's the first of the month, so it's time for the Cult 45s.
Do-do-do!
Oh, and you're without your bird.
My bird. Oh, yes. I don't know where Falcon is. Normally, he's my wake-up call, but I managed to do that by myself.
Well, you know, sometimes you have to take things into your own hand. And
hey, I didn't think we cammed. Oh, never mind.
Hey, depending on the show, when we have the fundraisers, we need to throw a cam in here.
Well, I'd be remiss to say, first of all, Chris, if I did not say a thank you to KPFT Radio that listens to you. For inviting us onto this program, as many other people in this community. And I've got a couple of things, if I might read.
Sure.
First, it's my manifesto. No, I won't go there.
This show is all about manifestos.
But I'd like to say a little support for some of our other cults. We have one of our cults, Rosemary Smith. Oh, she's going to whack me for that. Some people know as Daddy Rose, but, you know. You know, in a choir robe. Anyway, you can call her anything you want, I guess.
Oh, my God. Yeah, that's right. She's dressing as a woman.
They had a fabulous show tonight with the Bayou City Women's Chorus, Gay Man's Chorus. They've got their show going on tonight, Tuesday and Thursday. Tonight was sold out, but they still have tickets available for Tuesday and Thursday. 521, sing. Oh, did I say that out loud?
Yes.
Sorry about that. And also, remind people that next week, let me bump down through here. I'm doing some community stuff here. They'll have the Mary's tree lighting next Sunday at 6:30. Now, they actually turn the lights on. They don't light the tree. You know, that would...
That's a different kind of bar.
That would endanger...
That would be chances. Yeah. They do a tree lighting.
That would... Yeah. we won't... Yeah,
we played House of Fire for them after.
And I won't... Well, you know, you doing a report from heaven, you can see what... You know, I'm surprised you weren't there doing a remote.
Oh, I was just luckily drinking next door at the time.
But the Mary's tree lighting, I'll sit in, that'll be nice and fun, and rolling right into the Cold 45s. We have a small little celebration of Stacy Needleay. What is that? December 8th, that's Friday. I can't say Friday, but, you know, I guess you can. Thank God it's Friday, December 8th, 2006. It'll be the 28th anniversary of her 29th birthday. You do the math. I can't.
We tried the HCC meeting. It didn't work.
I know. It just doesn't add up because, I cut her in half counter rings. If she floats, she's a witch.
Hopefully she's not going to get a copy of this.
I'll make sure she does. She is requesting non-perishable food items for donations to the Resurrection MCC Pantry, because we all know they need our help, and as well as everybody else, but they help a lot of people, as well as all the proceeds are going to benefit that food pantry. So if you can hear the sound of my voice, and you like it, dial 976. All right, now. He'll be, it's something near and dear to his heart. He, you know, we do other things than just cult functions. We help some of the people that help us, and MCC helps our clients as well as some of the other organizations. And we, like all the other organizations in this community, kind of help each other get through things good and bad. And I'll come to another fork in the road, as they say. The Colt 45s are having their very Colt Christmas December 17th, 2006, 7 p.m. at the BRB. Our very Colt Christmas is a show, as well as it is our awards program. And every December, we give three awards to the community. We have the Danny Villa Award, which is named after Danny Villa. People who know him, people who don't, they remember back to, my gosh, Babylon. And some people still have their tap shoes. I won't mention their names. I can. It's given to a member of the community for their work that does not directly involve the Colt 45s. And this year's nominees are Blanche DeBrie, Sana Alton, Jason Cryer, who you know is the fond of St. John as well, but Jason Cryer works for Legacy, Rusty Rose, Jimmy Carver. Name sounds familiar. Can't place the face.
Oh, trust me. He's... if there's one thing that's been in our list of things that we talk about every week...
Ian forgot that, is it?
Oh, no, no.
And we have Lisa Ferranda. So I thought he would mention this, but I will go with this, you know, because I have to, because it's presidential duty. And we have our Golden Colt Award, which is given to a member of the community for their work directly related to the Colt 45s. And that goes to Southern Country Houston, who hangs their colors at the BRB. Don Gill, the Misfits Houston, PWA Holiday Cherries, and After Hours at KPFD.
It's nice to be nominated for something. You know, we're not even running in the gay news press.
But you're not forgotten with us. And once in a while, we tag along some people and we say, you know what? Not only do you come down there, but for goodness sakes, listen. And as I tell Jimmy all the time, if I'm not on here, if I'm stuck in a bar someplace, like that's a stretch. You can always listen to the archives Sunday mornings over your coffee or whatever.
Hair of the dog.
Oh, yeah. And we also have our B.J. Summers Memorial Entertainer of the Year Award, which is named after B.J. Summers, a fabulous entertainer that we have. There's a fly in here. And
not the good kind of fly.
Oh, I know. Not the good kind of fly. This year's nominees are Rusty Rose, Dee Dee DeMarco, Cheyenne, Christopher Prado, and Jim Crawford.
The last time when Jimmy said it there, he mispronounced Jim Crawford.
Oh, did he really?
Yeah.
Did he say crawfish? He didn't say
no,
crawfish?
No, he said Carper.
Oh, a Carper. He got that Carper in there again. I got a little... that fly's in there. I think I'm a little parched. Excuse me one second. Just a little parched.
Uh-huh. He says as he pulls out the bottle of Jim Ding.
My, he's sucking it down.
Sorry about that. Anyway, where were we?
Susan Lewis, she used to say. It's an honor just to be nominated.
Yes, it is.
We are.
Oh, and I forgot to mention our fabulous wreath contest. Normally, you're used to our trees, the miniature trees that we hand out to clubs in the community, where they'll decorate them in any sort of dazzling and or amazing or devious kind of ways, and they are judged as we judge other people, maybe a little bit better.
If they were judged by money.
Well, yeah, and also they're auctioned off. And I know Jimmy's got a couple of trees in his house, and so since a lot of people had those trees and they were... didn't have a lot of table space. We did the wreaths this year, and I believe that KPFT had volunteered to do a wreath. Jimmy graciously volunteered somebody to do a tree for After Hours, I believe.
No, I'm doing a wreath.
A wreath. Is that what it was?
Yeah, I've got a plan. I've ordered some stuff.
Oh, okay.
I was also thinking of doing another tree. Because, see, I'm known for not just some of my cooking stuff there, but I'm known as a 99-cent store whore.
Oh, really?
And I...
Do you ever run in there and just drive them crazy?
No. There was a... your fly came in here.
Oh, really? That's
not
a first. I didn't even wear the kilt tonight.
But, I was telling people, so I'm thinking about, I'll get another wreath and I'll just decorate it with things I bought at the 99-cent store.
Okay.
How tacky that could be.
Yeah.
But then again, I've already started doing Christmas shopping there.
That's only because you can't get the sequins to stick to all that fur. Douglas? Fur?
Oh, God. Who is this Douglas, and why is he so... anyway, he must be a bear.
Never mind. Forget I said anything. Most people in the city of Houston would rather I didn't speak anyway.
I think your mommy's calling you.
My mommy can't call me anymore.
Well, if you wouldn't have changed the number and not given it to her...
Well, you know, there are some self-defensive mechanisms that have got to be employed... Sometimes sooner.
Reminds me of my venture into pornographic film. They were non-speaking roles. I don't know. But,
where are the titles? Amazon.com.
And the only way you found out that they actually said anything was to look for subtitles?
Oh, no, I would never say that. Oh, no. I managed to take all the nude photos of me off the web. Yeah, my pastor finally took them down.
Well, he put them up, so it's only fair.
Yeah, that's true. I'm going to burn for that? Well, there's a lot of other things, too. But that's all I had to say. Well, you know, what can I say?
I don't know.
You're not,
vocabulary for.
You're not scaring me with that. I mean, you know. Jimmy, on the other hand, would be, but...
Oh, me?
Yeah, no.
I wouldn't scare you with that?
No.
Okay.
Considering how I showed up here 2 weeks in a row, but actually, you know, one of them, I have to say this, you know, Daddy Rose tried to kill me 2 weeks ago.
I find that hard to believe.
Well, you know.
Not really. Liar. Liar.
When we had the fire dance, was it Fire Dance 20? Well, she had one of my group's drinks, and it put her over the edge.
Oh.
So, the following week, when I walked over, went into Mary's, naturally, she looked at me, she goes, "I owe you a drink." And I foolishly told her, "I trust you." The combination she gave me, I can handle, but usually not starting at 9 o'clock at night. You know, Jägermeister, Sambuca.
Oh, wow.
And a splash of Rumplemintz.
Were you smoking when you walked in that night, when you came to the studio?
Yeah, I was. I stopped off and got a cigar. A banana cigar.
For those of you who know Chris only smokes when he's going to work.
No, when I need to sober up. So fortunately, I'm not a bad smoker. Hi, Merlin.
Hi.
You're holding up the wall?
Well, I am I'm sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt. My head's a little bit just cloudy right about now. I have no idea why.
Slightly overcast.
I don't know. But also, the Colts, graciously every year, this time of year, as well as in July, are given money from PWA Holiday Charities to give out to our clients on the AIDS Trouble Fund for Christmas in July or Christmas in Christmas.
Christmas is in December.
And those checks will be going out at PWA show, which will be next Sunday.
Sunday.
Which would be the 10th, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah, something like that.
And that's just mad. That's the mad money one, right?
That's not mad. Oh, yes, for them, yes.
Yeah, just this yes. is the mad money.
And that's what's kind of nice. It's you know, unexpected, and they can do whatever the heck they want with it. And sometimes, you know, people say, well, it's to help them with their bills. But for gosh sake, we hope sometimes that they don't have to.
Yeah.
They can go out and they can have a little bit of fun because they need to.
People everybody needs that.
Yeah. Restricted incomes. And everybody that's on our AIDS Trouble Fund list is on disability. That's one of the requirements is people with AIDS who are on disability and they have a viable diagnosis from their doctor. So they need a little bit of help.
Take a casino bus ride.
What?
Well, that's the way we do about mad money.
Well, hey, you know what? That's what I said, but they voted me down. I said, let's take the money and buy scratch-off tickets. No, I did not say that. But I did say that at an HCC meeting one time when they announced how much money they had in the finances. I thought, hey, you know, all that money, we'll be sure to double it. We'll just split up and buy all the scratch-off tickets, hand them out to the people.
Yeah, they get so messy. You've got all that, you know. you've got that gray powder floating around, and you know, some people wouldn't understand what to do with it. You
well,
know?
That's true. Some people would think it would be glitter, and other people would think it was, you know, just something to, I don't know, just residue.
My nose is stuffed up. Yeah. Wine!
I'm dreaming of a wine. Christmas.
Oh, you want that song?
No, I sure don't. No, that song?
Trust me, I've got a good version
of
it. Oh,
do you really?
Uh-huh.
Oh.
Well, so is that it?
That's it. I mean, taking
how do we get hold of the
Colt
45s?
You get hold of the Colt 45s. Well, you can reach out and grab us, or you can call us at 713-526-6077. Good grief, after 3 years, I've got that number memorized. We're also, if you need help from the AIDS Trouble Fund, you can dial that number for AIDS Trouble Fund, or you can go online and download our application at www.colt45s.org.
Yeah, just ignore the rest of the site. It's a little dated.
Is it?
Yeah.
Oh.
It's talking about your R run.
I didn't realize that. I hit the up. Well, you know, we've got this one weasel that, you know, he does that for a living, and sometimes you can't always count for those professionals to do that.
Well, that's what we're trying to find one, too, for ours. And, you know, maybe someday we'll have one for the radio show.
Really? You don't have a website for the radio?
No.
Well, you know, you have
I created a MySpace, but I haven't kept it up to date.
You have a little information. We'll see what we can do about that.
But now we've got something we want to, you know, be able to do with the stuff there. I created a MySpace because, you know, that's where all the other perverts are.
Do you have a webcam in here that people can actually
see? Not yet.
Really, would you like a webcam in here?
I don't know how we could hook it up, but, you know, like I said, it'd be one of those things that, you know, it comes time for Fun Drive, depending on the show, you know, either you pay us and we put it on the webcam, or you pay us or you pay us and we'll turn off the webcam.
Right. That'd be good.
And I've offered on those things. They say, if you want me to shut the hell up, I'll leave the studio here, pay enough money, and the phone's ringing. Scary.
Well, that is a good thing. Sometimes you have to make a few threats.
Yeah. But, so hopefully next time you'll be back. Jimmy won't be on vacation yet.
No, yes, it's one of his 5 weeks of the year that he's not here.
Yeah, his annual trip to
Hawaii.
Aloha, oh, yeah, come on, I want to lay you. I have to remember that song.
Or in his case,
Aloha, boy. Well, I didn't mean to take up your chair space. But, you know, I love it here at KPFD. It harkens back to my youth when, you know, I used to shag records. And my mother always thought, he's safe. He's down at a radio station. What kind of trouble can he possibly be getting into?
You know, there's no way you could shag a record there. That ain't the size of an... I digress.
But you never know.
It's like a phonograph, though. Who wants to play RCA Victor to it? Oh, I'm sorry.
Hey, now.
Alrighty, we're going to play White Christmas now.
Thank you very much.
But we're going to play a different version. It ain't Bing Crosby.
Ooh.
We're talking transvestite dominatrix.
Ooh. Well, when you say Bing Crosby, I always think about squeeze a little juice. You know, do those Florida orange juice commercials.
Coming up next, it's Hatch. See you.
Yeah.
That sure as hell wasn't Bing Crosby. It was Temptress. And you know, she's got two Christmas songs out, White Christmas and The Grinch Song. And there's a couple other songs on here. I forget what the other ones are. They're lectures. This is After Hours, Queer Radio with Attitude. I need to push that button, that button, that button. It's time now for the Hatch segment. Your mics are on. You're ready.
All right.
Okay, I'm sorry. Hello, this is Hatch.
Talking to one mic or the other.
Pick one, sweetie.
Pick one. All right, Hatch Radio.
There you go. Okay, now.
Okay. December 3rd, Sunday morning, late Saturday night. What are we going to talk about, Madison? Brian?
Okay, let's first start off. This is Hatch Radio, and we got to mention a few numbers for you. Our first number is the Hatch phone number, which happens to be 713-529-3590. And we got the Hatch Youth website, which is www.hatchyouth.org, where it details all the events we have coming up. Which then we got the, for if you can't get in touch with them and you really need some help, I strongly recommend the Gay and Lesbian Switchboard of Houston, which is 713-529-3211. And going on to that.
Right on.
This was something else I was going to say real quick.
What is it?
I don't know if it wasn't important enough for me to keep, so
right.
We'll go on.
Since we can't remember, let's introduce ourselves. We'll start with you, Madison, since you've been talking.
Apparently, my name's already introduced. I'm Madison. I'm Hatch, and we'll continue on.
Alrighty. And to my right,
Brian, I'm in Hatch for one time.
Hey, nothing wrong with that.
He went once, made an entrance, made an exit. Okay, I'm Christina. I've been going to Hatch for a while. Been on the steering committee. I don't know how much more I can say than that. And it's my first Hatch radio show. Not my first radio, but for Hatch.
So let's give her all the disrespect she deserves.
Oh, wow. Thank you so much, Madison. I cannot thank you enough. Okay, so what we're going to talk about today. We're obviously in the month of December. And does anyone know what December 1st was, Brian, Madison?
World AIDS Day.
Woo!
I was just going to say it was yesterday.
No, it was World AIDS Day. What do we know about World AIDS Day, you guys?
It was yesterday.
Okay. Besides the fact that it was yesterday. Brian, do you know anything about World AIDS Day?
I slept through hell, so I don't remember.
Okay, I'm so sorry to hear that. All right, World AIDS Day. Clap your hands for AIDS awareness. Yay! Okay, one of the best things you can do on a day like that is remember and be aware and just let people know. And about being active about something you care about. Some things that I noticed that people did for World AIDS Day. At work, I mentioned it. I told one of my buddies, Happy AIDS Day. And he said, what? I said, Happy AIDS Day. He's like, what do you mean, Happy AIDS Day? I was like, today is World AIDS Day, a day for remembrance and awareness of AIDS. I made a MySpace bulletin. I had a friend of mine who made a really, really cool MySpace bulletin that was really creative and really powerful. And there have also been famous people involved in AIDS awareness. For example, this morning I was reading an article about Ashley Judd. She travels around just speaking about AIDS, giving lectures, giving talks with one of her friends. Internationally, they go and they talk and they raise awareness, whether it's for, you know, when they get down to the nitty-gritty, whether it's for women's rights or, you know, the exploitation of women or just AIDS or just anything of that sort. So teenagers are involved. Hatch kids are involved. Ashley Judd is involved.
Bono.
Bono's involved, too.
Bill Gates.
Can anyone tell me a little bit about what Bono's doing? Okay.
Bono. I don't know if he's involved.
All right. If you have ever seen Bono advertisements about AIDS, raising AIDS awareness, y'all obviously have no idea. Okay. Well,
I know a lot about it, but I'm going to let you continue.
I don't watch TV.
Well, hey, I don't watch TV either, but homegirl over here knows. How does she do it? Madison, why don't you tell me what Bono does?
He just goes around, does his performances, and he gets together for the National World's AIDS Coalition and helps try to get the funding to stop AIDS spreading in Africa.
Right on. Okay.
Oh, I have seen that commercial.
Then you do
See,
watch
you
TV.
Do
wa- oh,
no.
my gosh, Brian,
I didn't remember
TV.
Until... I rarely watch TV, okay?
That's Except cool. when it's SpongeBob SquarePants or something.
Hate that cartoon.
Okay. Anyways, moving on from SpongeBob. We'll go back to him when we have nothing else to talk about. Okay, Brian, when we have nothing else to talk about, you'll just talk about SpongeBob, okay? Alrighty. The International AIDS Conference. It is in Sydney, Australia this year.
The Lion Down Under.
I believe last year it was in Toronto. I could be wrong, though, so I don't want to publicize a mistaken statement. I was hoping it'd be somewhere on our continent because I wanted to travel. However, you can't very well road trip to Sydney, Australia. So that was not the question.
It'd be kind of hard.
A little bit. Okay. So, is anyone going to do anything for AIDS Month? AIDS Month awareness. National AIDS Month, December.
I got it right here, even though y'all can't see it out there. It's just a little red ribbon I'm going to wear around my finger every day of the month till it's over.
Cool.
Well, except I'm not wearing it now, so I better put it back on.
Well, it's okay, because we see it. And one of the best things about that is awareness. Because people will be like, Madison, why are you wearing a red ribbon on your finger? And you'll be like, AIDS awareness.
Oh, I was just going to say, because it's my middle finger, and y'all made me mad.
Okay, well, or you could turn it into something
I have a red ribbon on my backpack the day that I was told about it, which was in health, and then I fell asleep.
And okay.
Then I got a red ribbon.
Oh, okay. Yeah. You fell asleep in health. I totally thought you said something else other than health. I heard something different.
No.
Well, that's good. Okay.
Because they talked about it in our health class.
Okay. So I think we have a few things to read about AIDS. Would you like to start us off, Madison?
No, but I will.
Okay.
So what I got right here that I want to speak about, it's somebody from Hatch that we know really well and everything. Her name's Deb, and she's the Hatch, the father of Hatch, if you want to go on that way, and everything. She's really important to us. And
we love Deb.
Last night, I was at a candlelight visual for AIDS, and she was there, too. And she read this message off, and I want to make sure y'all know at least it's from her. I'm almost for sure she wrote it, but I can't be exactly too positive, but I'm mostly for sure. And she asked if she was able to be here to have 5 minutes of our time. So this is going to be her 5 minutes, and I'm going to give it to you straight fact and read from her. And so here it is. I'm here this evening for two reasons. The first, of course, is to share with others the memories of those who were and remain dear to us, even though we've lost some. The second reason is to talk about the generation coming up now. They've always known HIV, but they do not remember the Holocaust we've experienced. I'm worried for them. They believe that HIV is a manageable disease. They don't know yet understand that not everyone can afford or access to medications. They don't yet understand about medication side effects. They don't yet understand treatment failure. We are failing them. Drug ads today are reminiscent of the cigarette ads of yesterday, seductive about the lifestyle afforded by the product. In this case, they don't understand affection now may mean they may never get to build the life these ads portray. I've yet to hear our community complain about these ads. We're too glad the drugs are there. Our belief that the drugs normalize the illness is based on our experience of the pre-AZT days and is based on the hope that our loved ones may be here a little longer. But young people are getting the message that drugs make everything okay, and that being infected really isn't so bad. So what do we do? We tell the whole truth. Our friends died and continue to die, not romantically, but after experiencing tremendous pain and suffering. Our friends died abandoned by their families. Our friends simply died. And drugs or not, they continue to die. And along the way, the people who have this illness lose people dear to them. People who share their history. They lose opportunities they work to create for themselves. They lose experiences they would have cherished. They lose the life focused on something other than illness, lab tests, and medications. We must make people understand that abstinence-only education kills young people and assist our youth receive better education. We must make safer sex materials available to everyone. We must advocate for... I'm going to stop with this part because we must ensure that youth know there's no room for failure here. Not for us, not for them, not for, but for our joint future ahead and from time now to go.
All right, well said. In the words of Deb, how do you feel about that, Madison? Well, what she's saying about the drugs.
Well, considering I was there when she said it the first time and realized what she was meant about, it wasn't really about the drugs she was talking about. It's about the youth nowadays living in the fact that we're treating it like it never happened and everything, which is bad considering that we all share something common, and if we don't be careful about respecting our past, it's bound to come around again.
History repeats itself. And if they're really,
and
really
it's starting to happen again in this world. Especially in this country. Among us youth, we're starting to ignore it like they did back then, and it's going to start spreading again like rapid fire if we're not careful.
Definitely. And one of the best solutions to a problem that we may not be able to conquer as individuals is solely awareness.
Yep.
And just telling people, just talking about it, just like on World AIDS Day. You know, you may not be able to go out there and, you know, cure AIDS. You may not be able to go out and, you know, help every sick person, but you can just tell people and talk. You know, like several people I told, they didn't even know. People simply don't know. And nope. If we don't know the problem, we don't know the answer. So I'm going to read a little bit about AIDS in Houston, the early days. And then Brian is so lovingly going to read about debunking some of the AIDS myths. Yay! Okay. Introduction.
Let's get a play-by-play of the whole thing.
Girl, you know it. Okay. World AIDS Day, observed December 1st, is dedicated to raising awareness of the global AIDS epidemic caused by the spread of the HIV infection. This day was picked because the first case of AIDS was diagnosed on this day. The concept originated at the 1988 World Summit of Ministers of Health on Programs for AIDS Prevention. Since then, it has been taken up by governments, international organizations, and charities around the world. To understand the origin of this observance, one must also understand the climate and the needs that existed in 1988. Homophobia, AIDS phobia, and an utter indifference on the part of government agencies to the terrible AIDS epidemic were the norm. This, then, is the story of the gay community in the early and mid-1980s and the terrible devastation wrought by the AIDS epidemic. We hope to help you understand why World AIDS Day came to be and why it is so significant to the gay and lesbian community.
And trans.
Like we said on one of our earlier shows, gay and lesbian community is all inclusive. So, girl,
no, but
we,
just
we
because
got
I'm trans don't mean I'm gay and lesbian.
But it's okay.
Even though all my friends think I'm.
Okay, who knows? Brian, take it away with debunking the myths.
Debunking some myths, or everything you know is wrong. AIDS is not a manageable disease, regardless of the happy, healthy individual shown on AIDS drug advertisements. Even if you could afford the drugs, they might not work for you. Philadelphia, in quotations, 1993.
So, man.
Sorry. Was made only after Hollywood felt America was ready for a major motion picture about PWA. Which is...
I have no idea, but we'll just keep going. People with AIDS... I guess. I don't know.
Okay, we don't want to misrepresent, so just take it away, Brian. Just keep going.
Oh, well, makes sense.
The next bullet. Once again, in quotations, Longtime Companion, 1990, was the first movie to put a human face on AIDS, but was not a box office smash. More realistic than Philadelphia. There was not always money for AIDS treatment and research. There were not always acceptance of PWAs. PWAs, which seems like it means people with AIDS, did not always live so long after acquiring an AIDS-defining illness. That's all.
Okay.
Thanks.
Let's look at our other sheet of paper. I've actually heard that Philadelphia... was a really, really good movie. I have yet to see it.
I think we need to get together and watch it because I've only seen bits and pieces.
I've heard it's really, really sad too.
I'll try downloading it.
Wow, that's
of
really
course,
good.
Of course, you're gonna bootleg it, aren't you? Let's
seriously,
bootleg
Brian?
Philadelphia.
Yeah, that's cool. Okay. I'm going to read a section on this. Do we know where this paper came from, Madison?
Yep.
The internet.
Well, it also came from Deb. She helped get it together
okay.
and stuff.
So,
now, I got stuff I know from heart that I was going to say, but this is stuff that I knew for a fact it came from a good, important source that I trust, and I want to make sure
okay.
I got something that I would think was valid before I put it on.
Okay, so from Hatch, we have received this piece of paper that's telling us all this useful information. Alrighty. In the beginning, were so many men, so little time. Sexual revolution of the 60s and gay liberation of the 70s led to gay promiscuity. Migration of gays from the hinterlands to gay meccas. Okay.
From the country states like out in Nebraska to like New York, San Francisco is what that means.
Okay.
Just to put it in layman's terms.
In parentheses, we've got Castro, West Hollywood, Greenwich Village, and Montrose. Okay, serious. Not gonna giggle.
Or Oz.
That's funny. since we were outlaws, we could do what we wanted in our community. I'm assuming this is with the myth thing. I'm not sure, though. Some men had hundreds, even thousands of sexual partners. The use of condoms wasn't heard because there was no risk. Okay, these aren't non-myth. This is talking about what was
yes.
going on. Okay. Good to know we have our stuff together. Hatch kids, always on top of the ball. We got this. Okay,
Okay, well, we'll stop there and I'll go before I was going to say, about the thing, and one thing I mentioned and I realized, if you go to Montrose Counseling Center, there's this artwork that the local artist did, and it's 25 years of AIDS. And I looked on there, and the very second row starts in 87, the year I was born. I realized that 20 years I've been around, and 20 years of my life, the majority of my life has been during the AIDS crises. I've been around for all these years and watched so many people have died and everything else. And I look around knowing that I'm now part of an AIDS group that's going to bring this crisis and Holocaust that could possibly bring it back. Not by just getting AIDS, but by the fact that we're doing drugs nowadays that are going to increase the risk of us getting the disease. It's not like we're just getting it. We're now doing stuff that we know we shouldn't be doing, and we're getting it. And it's sad to think about how many of us are not looking at it, being that we're youth. So I was just wondering how y'all feel, how youth relates to now knowing nowadays about the AIDS and the AIDS crisis.
Well,
Ignorance,
and like that article mentioned, indifference. Youth is increasingly getting more and more infected because
highest growing number of cases of AIDS is in youth our age.
Right. We've got to think about the choices we are making. We've got to think about the things that we are doing. And that's one of the wonderful things about Hatch. Because like in Deb's words earlier, teaching abstinence strictly is not the smartest way to go about it. As much as we would love to live in a world where we could just teach kids to be abstinent and kids would do so, that's not the reality. The reality is we've got to make good choices. Safe sex and watching what we're doing, like drug use, and making good choices with that. And the best thing, as always, and I think we all know, is of course not doing drugs and not putting yourself in a harmful situation, because one little thing could go wrong and it affects you for your entire life and it affects the people around you.
And always be prepared. You know, youth nowadays, a lot of them say they're not going to have physical interaction with some other human or partner at any time in their, until they're married or until they're older. Facts are to say is you never know when that first time is going to happen, and most likely you're going to do it when that time comes around. So I just say be prepared, carry protection, whatever else you might need. That way if that day happens, you'll be prepared. And I'd rather have it there and never need it than not have it there and one day need it.
Okay, right on. So be prepared to make good choices, have the intent of making good choices, and actually act on making good choices.
Mm-hmm.
So that is something as youth that we can do to help each other and to help ourselves in a world where a problem like this is occurring.
Yep.
Let's see.
Like a good neighbor, Hatch is there.
Okay. That was really nice, Bobby.
I just want to throw that in there.
That's cool. Singing on the radio is cool. Don't know how.
Yeah, it's better than some of the songs I've heard tonight. Chris.
Yeah. The
let's not throw some names in.
It was lovely. The music was very much appreciated. It put
Jimmy, come back quick.
That was really, really creepy, Brian.
Hey, I like Chris just as much as I do Jimmy. Okay, Chris, you're always going to be one of the main people that I
totally dig everyone here. I was totally falling asleep during conversations, but that's okay.
You dig them? Oh, man. So, well, we know who's going to be digging y'all's funerals when it happens. I feel sad for y'all.
Question mark.
He's already digging and we're not digging.
Because I was falling asleep, I'm totally going to die. Girl, you know me.
I'm completely rambling. I'm sorry. Let's.
Okay. We're rambling about sleep and funerals with no correlation at all. Okay.
And it could be worse. We could be talking about, what was it me and the other person was doing the show last weekend was talking about? Oh, what superhero we'd like to be, and it was Batgirl, and I think the other person said Wonder Woman. So, I mean, we could talk about anything now going on.
Well, we could. I know one of our last resorts will be SpongeBob. I think that...
I think
we are clever enough to come up with stuff. I know we wanted to touch this. Can you read that from here?
Oh, yeah. One important thing that I'm glad she brought up and reminded us is right now is the time to start applying for all youth and everything, leaving high school and just in college, to start applying for the two PFLAG scholarships. There's the National PFLAG Scholarship and everything, and which one requirement that does affect people, you got to be a graduating high school senior and everything. If you're not, or out for a year as of 2006, but one thing, if you're in the Houston area, I highly recommend, and I know this is good, and I know people that received it, it's the PFLAG Hatch Youth Scholarship, of which I'm applying, so you better be prepared for some competition.
Okay. Well, wonderful. Okay, so we got that covered. Good program. Great people. Good opportunity.
So I wouldn't even ask you to apply, Christina, because we know I got you beat.
Okay, well, that is very loving, and I'm so glad we have so much faith in each other.
Just kidding.
Man, it's like tortoise in the hair. Don't like it. And Brian's being creepy again and whispering into the microphone. And
he's the tortoise. He's the hair.
Okay. I don't know. I'm stuck in a room with people, and it's late.
On the last episode of SpongeBob.
Okay. But see, this is how the Hatch Radio Show works. We're here, we talk, we get on a more youthful, personal level than most people do. Now, we got a lot of old-timers that will come and talk, I'm sure, on other shows and hear sometimes about stuff that happened in antique, pre-Stone Age, Precambrian era stuff. But we talk about SpongeBob we talk about all these new young things, so it makes us relatively
old. I know.
You're not old, thanks. Merlin. You're just not as young as you used to be.
Thanks, Merlin.
We love the glitter.
I know. Oh, glitter. Seriously, every
mine is one of those Bratz dolls
for glitter. Okay, but Madison, as you said, Bratz doll, I see Merlin's head lift up. And,
I got an idea.
Why don't we take a little music interlude and regroup and reconfigure and. You're in the mood for taking a little break?
Yes.
Totally. That sounds lovely.
She says with a stress headache.
Okay, take a break. Take us away.
We're going to.
She needs another Red Bull.
On that note, their mics are down. A little Venus Envy. And it is the 12 Gays.
Venus Envy?
Ooh. Oh, I've got one man that was down. Venus Envy. Your mic's off now, so shush. The 12 Gays of Christmas. We'll be back.
look. Oh, I want to tell you about what I got for Christmas.
Tell
all my presents.
Tell it. Tell
yeah. Here we go. Here we go. I'm going to tell you now. Tell you now. Tell you now.
On the first day of Christmas,
what
my true love gave to me, listen up, she gave me a whole year of therapy.
When does it start?
Well, the second day of Christmas, my true love gave to me two dogs named Sappho
and a year of therapy.
On the third day of Christmas, my lover gave me three kids, 5 feet of
Oh, my God. Well, and I got two dogs named Sappho
and a year of therapy.
On the fourth day of Christmas, my true love gave me four turkey basters.
Really?
Five Venus and
Oh, you are so lucky. Well, I only got two dogs named Sappho
and a year of therapy.
On the fifth day of Christmas, well, I got from my lover
five dental dams.
Hot mercy, I got four turkey basters.
Yeah. Three kids, 5 years and
Lucky girl, I got two dogs named Sappho
and a year of therapy.
On the sixth day of Christmas, oh, the woman of mine gave to me six pierced labia.
Ooh. Five dental dams.
I got four sterile turkey basters.
Oh,
and I just got those dogs named Sappho
and a year of therapy.
What'd you get, Laura?
Well, on the third day of Christmas, I got seven vibrators for my honey.
Oh, I got six pierced labia.
Five dental dams.
Look out. I got four turkey basters. We
eat.
Oh, my God. And I just got dogs.
So cute.
And a year of therapy.
On the eighth day of Christmas, my true love gave me eight menstrual sponges.
Eight?
Yeah.
Seven vibrators.
And I got my labia pierced six times.
Five dental dams.
Can I look? Oh, I got four turkey basters.
Yes.
Oh, you are so lucky. And I just got these little slobbering dogs.
And a year of therapy.
On the ninth day of Christmas. Oh, my God. She brought to the house nine tattooed women.
Wow, I got eight menstrual sponges.
Oh, and labia that's pierced.
Ooh. Five dental dams.
We're going to have that child with four turkey basters.
And three dental
dams. Oh, they're worth a lot of money. Two dogs named Sappho.
And a year of therapy.
Yeah. On the 10th day of Christmas, my lover is a bull. Give me 10 hairy armpits.
You already got 10 hairy armpits. We got 9 tattooed ladies.
Thanks.
I got 8 menstrual sponges. I got long.
7 vibrators.
6 pierced labia.
5 dental dams.
She gave me 4 turkey basters.
Yeah. 3 tips by Venus and
Venus and Venus and me. 2 dogs named
Sappho.
And a year of therapy.
On the 11th day of Christmas, oh my God. You know what I got? I got a whole closet full of leather accessories.
Ugh. 10 hairy armpits.
And then, of course, those 9 tattooed women.
I got 8 menstrual sponges,
yeah?
And she loves me when I have cramps.
7 vibrators. And 6 pierced labia. Here we go.
5 dental dams.
Will you show me what to do with those later? I got 4 turkey basters.
3 tips. 5 feet of empty. I know what to do with them. Sappho squared.
Yeah. And a year of therapy.
Well, on that final day of Christmas, with my mental health in mind, she gave me 12-step programs. And, of course,
yeah.
I got a closet full of leather. I'm happy.
10 hairy armpits.
9 tattooed women. Thank you, Jesus.
Made menstrual sponges.
7 vibrators. And 6 pierced labia. And, of course,
5 dental dams.
Listen up. We got 4 turkey basters. Lucky, lucky girl. I got 2 dogs named Sappho.
And a year of therapy.
Well, you know, they are at my house, and they're staying at my house. You guys got a really good presents, and nice to see the baby up here.
I want
to
know about those vibrators.
Well,
oh, I can teach you about that.
Could you maybe share with us later on?
Yo, this is not okay.
And, you know, those armpits are going to come in handy. Harry,
you know, she loves me even when I have major PMS.
God,
well, even when I
don't know what to do with
she loves me.
I
love that song, you know that. She's got it, yeah, baby, she's got it. Yeah.
So are the dogs
so talented.
They are so talented. Oh, my God, what a group. What am I going to do?
What a great Christmas.
Oh,
so
are there any belts in that leather accessory?
Venus Envy, the 12 Gays of Christmas. Get used to it. There's another version of that out for the boys. This is After Hours Queer Radio with Attitude on listener-sponsored commercial-free Pacifica Radio for the Gulf Coast, KPFT Houston, 90.1 FM, 89.5 Galveston, and always the World Wide Web at kpft.org. It's the Hatch segment. Now you guys are going to have to sort out your microphones now. You're not on four anymore. You're on three.
Okay. Which one's which?
This one.
Grab that one so Brandon can grab the other one.
Okay. Alrighty.
Let me fix this.
Over the break, we were talking about sex ed. What are they telling us and what are they not telling us? One time...
Do it. No, not...
Okay. One time, I was in a group discussion about AIDS. And we were talking... It was actually a sex ed discussion. And talking about how to prevent AIDS, how to keep yourself safe. And a kid raised his hand and asked the question, can AIDS be cured? And I was shocked. Because I was like, wow. He doesn't know if AIDS can be cured or not. We don't know enough about this to where a normal average teen is saying, well, can it be cured? When it is such a global epidemic, shouldn't we already know that?
AIDS will never be cured.
You don't know that.
No, AIDS will never be cured.
You don't know that.
So that brings us to the question of what they're telling us or what they're not telling us in sex ed. And the question that was posed was abstinence versus... you know, safe sex.
The thing is, I'm in high school right now. They don't have any sort of sex ed whatsoever. What they teach it, they only teach health, and they don't teach any sex ed stuff now. Because by law, they're only allowed to teach abstinence.
So what does that mean for kids going into college?
They're ignorant about sex.
And
unwillingly ignorant, because I think, okay, so I've been told, don't do it. But what happens when...
But they were not told why.
Yeah. Well, not only why, but they've been told, don't do it. But what happens when they are doing it? What will they do if they don't know the choices?
And youth don't realize the risks involved with the different types of sex. I mean, I think there's this misconception that anal sex is the only thing that will make you vulnerable to getting HIV, which is just simply not the truth. And I'm surprised at how many people don't know that there is a risk associated with oral sex. And that's a little scary, I think.
It's very scary. It's scary when people don't know about every single way to contract AIDS. It's scary when people don't know if AIDS can be cured. It's scary when people just simply don't know. And that brings us back to awareness, what we were talking about earlier, because people simply don't know. That kid who asked, can AIDS be cured, he simply didn't know. And if we don't know the problem, we're certainly not going to know an answer.
You're looking at me?
I'm...
Even though y'all can't see that out there.
I'm...
Do you want me to comment or bring this up?
I'm looking for feedback.
I guess I'll give this feedback since she's requesting it. I know this is a small group. But, Run, Boris, run!
Okay.
But anyway...
The chair was killing me.
On the feedback, or talking about the thing, I remember the one time I took help was... It's almost old to me now. My freshman year in high school and everything. Man, I'm starting to feel as old as some of the people here. But it was, I remember you go through this. We had the one about drugs and we had the ones about STDs, but AIDS was kind of a small paragraph. But not only mention that, sex in general was actually overlooked in the book. And not, we didn't really even have abstinence. It was ignored. I remember asking the health teacher, so what's with the reproduction and how does it work? And they wouldn't say anything. And I think what it is they know that if you get to talking about reproduction and you get to talking about babies and all this other stuff, the question's bound to come up is, what does it take for that to happen? And once you get that, then you get prevention and safe, being safe, and what can constitute what happens. And there, I think nowadays it's also what parents are afraid the kids will learn. But the parents got to remember, it's what the kids are learning. It's what the kids are learning that the parents did to have the kids.
Wait, let me get this straight. I've had an issue with the whole sex education and absence-only policy, but if I'm hearing you correctly, you're stating that in health classes they don't even go over how babies are made. Is
that
right?
No, they don't. You can ask. They skip that entire... There was three sections.
I'm in health right now. They don't.
There was three sections on it. There was the male reproductive, the female, and then babies and the young thing, and they skipped that entire section.
And he's right. When you go through the STD parts, there's only half a page on AIDS.
See, seriously, they will spend more time about how daisies reproduce than humans. And I don't know why this is so taboo. Why is sex so taboo? Why is AIDS so taboo? I mean, we're not playing with Santa Claus. No, I mean...
Hey, it's your Christmas.
I mean, we aren't trying to hide. We aren't trying to cover up, you know, or are we? But, I mean...
I hope we're all covered up.
Why can't... Okay, didn't mean it like that. But why can't we talk about AIDS? How come it's so taboo? How come when a kid brings it up in class... How come it's all shh?
I think part of it is parents think when you talk about sex, it suddenly gives a green light that their little innocent angels, who would never have considered having sex before, suddenly have it as an option. And I'm just curious, you don't have to tell me for yourself, but of the friends your age, how many of your friends are having sex right now?
All of them.
Except for me? That's born, virgin, everything. Everybody, as far as I know.
Yeah.
It's like, you know, it's a part of life, and it's a part of relationships, mm-hmm. and it's going to happen, whether you do it safe, whether you don't do it safe, whether you think about it, whether you don't think about it, whether you're high, whether you're sober, it's going to happen.
Right.
So, if we're going to talk about it, you know, why just say don't do it, don't do it, don't do it? You know, give us a solution, because you give someone a solution, and there's no problem to begin with. If you tell someone, hey...
Oh, that was just my stomach.
That was smooth.
That was my stomach. I'm sorry about that.
Well, you should turn your stomach off.
Yeah, you know, but...
Doing it right now.
I put my stomach on vibrate. I'm sorry. But it's... I think they're afraid, parents mainly, is that it's going to lead in the kids wanting to do stuff and open the window for them to experiment. But don't they realize everything I learned about sex, I learned in school anyway without even having a health class. I learned about the baseball mitt and the baseball glove and the baseball bat from the high school jock that was doing the cheerleader. I mean, you learn about all this before you even know, and then you go home and you go, Mom, I heard the baseball bat into the kids' cheerleader's baseball mitt makes a baby. Can you explain that? No, the stork drops it off.
And we shouldn't even have that difficulty. I don't think that's a good idea because here, I mean, it's like rumors. You're hearing it from someone who heard it from someone, and you're mm-hmm. going back and telling someone else. We ought to have someone that just says it like it is.
It tells us the facts, not just something that, you know, may or may not be true.
And remember this, if somebody you know is bragging about doing that, odds are they ain't done it.
Yeah, and it's, again, like, I mean, this is all tying together beautifully. It all goes back to awareness.
Mm-hmm.
You have to be aware to know what is going on, to know what to do, what the problem is, what the solution is. So...
Well, who's responsible for making that awareness known to youth?
It should be a combination of there should be a sex ed for, you know, when you get the right age, which should be sometime in high school, and your parents actually talking to you about it, so you don't get false information.
Well, where do you draw the line? I mean, do you talk about vaginal, anal, oral sex and what you need to do to protect yourself in all three of those categories, or do you just kind of gloss over it?
Can't answer.
Seriously, if we glossed over it, that's kind of like glossing over AIDS. You have to, mm-hmm. in order to understand what the problem is, you've got to understand the solution. So you've got to get into the nitty-gritty. You've got to say all the words that make you giggle. You've got to say all the words that make you sound really weird. And some of the people mispronounce the words. And, you know, we just have to do it. We have to understand. We have to talk about it. We have to know. Because if we don't know, then we are only adding to the problem. If we are not helping it, we are only adding to it. And you asked who's responsible. And we could say the government. We could say our parents. We could say our teachers. But most of all, we are all in this together. We're all doing this together, you know.
but we're all
doing this, you know. Brothers, sisters, fellow human beings, we're all in this together. Okay, guys.
Speaking,
I'm not trying to do this.
Speaking of giggling during conversations like this, love you guys. I love how mature
we
are.
Every time you're coming around, well, we're trying to show that we're you.
It's your fault.
Thank you.
It's always Christina's fault. We always learn to blame it on on.
Oh, my gosh. Okay. But, you know, but we're all in this together. And yeah. We, just for the general concern for a fellow human being and saying, hey, if you're doing this, watch out. Hey, if you're doing this, watch out. Because if you don't, it's going to come back to you.
Well, I just like the fact that people, the guys walk up and say, I don't know how I got AIDS. It just, I didn't use protection, but I didn't, I don't know. Yeah,
have you actually heard that before?
I have. Yeah. I have heard it with older people, with like someone around their 40s or 50s, and they contracted AIDS. And so I asked them, being curious, I'll be like, well, how? Was it drugs? Was it sex? Was it, you know, was it one of those, you know, freak accidents? And they said, you know what? I did so much stuff back then. I did so much. Oh. I have no idea if it was in the 60s. I have no idea if it was the 70s. I have no idea if it was the IV I was using. I have no idea if it was the prostitute I was having sex with. I have no idea. And that is ignorance, and it's unawareness.
Are we hearing thunder?
No, Brian's shaking the table.
Thunder and the frickin'.
Oh, Brian, cold? What is this right here?
Yeah, I thought you weren't cold.
Yeah, really.
I'm
cold.
I'm hot from the feet up, okay?
Yeah, you are.
And now I'm getting my shoes.
Anyways,
Bye.
Bye-bye, Brian. Okay, he's coming back.
Lock the doors.
Okay, well.
So, you're right about the AIDS thing, and I think what you mean by what's an age group, well, everything I needed to learn about this, I learned starting my freshman year of high school. High school, you think, but for me, sex ed and all that starts at a young age, prevention and all that. I swear, if I have kids, at the first moment the kid walks to me and goes, Mommy, where do babies come from? I'm going to say, well, I'm going to put it in simple terms. Well, they can understand it. When your daddy and your mommy get together, they start dancing. And when they dance together, and
I'm like,
and
what?
They come in close contact.
I know, it's like
it
dancing.
Okay, the horizontal tango.
Okay, well, okay.
I mean, I didn't want to. I'm just trying, but I'm putting it in little kids' terms. When they're dancing, because a little kid knows about dancing.
Well, see, now you're going to have little kids going out thinking
seriously, seriously, when I was like, and like, less than fourth grade, I totally thought you could get AIDS from kissing someone because I was misinformed, terribly misinformed. But I get what you're saying.
Because I don't want, if you go, I mean, honestly, I do understand there's a thing out there, and I don't want my little girl going on, our boy walking into school in first grade going, we learned about boobies. My mommy told me about these.
Can we even say that on the Hatch radio show?
We can say boobies.
Okay.
Yeah,
all
but
right.
I'm just saying, I would rather them go, my mommy told me that babies come from dancing in the bedroom. Well, I mean, the parents, the teacher might understand, but that leaves a little bit where the little kids will kind of blow it off. They'll get it, but they'll blow it off, and then you wait, and then you get in the elementary, and they start getting a little bit more curious, and they go, Mommy, when I went to the bathroom, I noticed that something was different between me and Johnny.
Okay.
And then you start explaining that a little bit more. And then junior high, you get more into it. And by high school, you can talk about anal sex, oral, whatever else, because you learn that in the male locker room when they're going around slapping tails.
Okay, well, that's great. Okay, but see, I like what you said about the kid going up and asking what. Because they say, in a lot of parenting books and a lot of parenting references, they say, a kid is ready to know something when they ask. When they're ready to know about sex, they will ask. When they're ready to know about homosexuality, they will ask. And we are asking. So as youth, as people, we are ready to know. So these subjects shouldn't be taboo. Sex should not be taboo. Mm-hmm. AIDS should not be taboo. Homosexuality should not be taboo. We are asking and we are wanting to know, and we are ready to know the answers and to find a solution.
Okay, you guys are in Hatch, so I know you guys know the basics about how you protect yourself, what mm-hmm. the risks are. You do too. We go over this all the time. But I'm wondering, for the three of you, where
do you see the look on my face,
gave the evil death
I've been on a sabbatical for a little while from Hatch, but usually about once a month we go over what the risks are and how to protect yourself.
Sex on.
Right. Yep. First Friday of every month.
I'm wondering, where was the place or who was the person who told you the risks and how to protect yourself?
Deb had Hatch.
It was Hatch.
It was Hatch. And was Hatch. I mean, for a lot of people, it was Hatch.
I don't remember.
It was a book that I read.
Okay, so books, literature, and that's...
And it wasn't the history book. You had to get from some other book, right? See, that's the problem. We're having to go to other places. The history text... not the history. The health textbooks should include this in there. I mean, because it's health. And the fact that they're leaving it out is bad. It's like religion out of schools. You don't take... Religion's never out of school. And... You should never take sex out of the health books because it's going to be in there, and we're sooner or later we're going to have to learn about it. And even though we know, younger kids are going to have to learn about it because we all want to know our history. We all want to know where we came from. Well, the basic thing is, where do we come from? Well, that can definitely be answered in one question and one answer. So I think more and more parents need to open up and speak to their kids, because if you speak to them about that, you're going to start them on a path that they'll start learning stuff, and eventually they'll become aware of it and start awareness, and that will help stop spread of HIV and AIDS.
And that's excellent. I like what you're saying about conversations, and I like what you said. It's, you know, we're going to know because it's inevitable. And like I say with many people, like when the cocoon turns to a butterfly, it is inevitable. No, I'm completely serious, you guys. Okay. Okay, hold on. Okay. Okay, but no.
Metaphoric.
Okay, metaphorically speaking, the cocoon, all right, is going to turn into a butterfly. It is inevitable. There's nothing you can do to change it. I mean...
You can smush it.
Okay. Hold on. Realistically speaking, yes, there's something you can change it. But no, it is inevitable. That change will occur. And it is inevitable that we will know these things eventually. So why not educate? Why not re-educate? And why not install good beliefs and good knowledge about what's going on, what we're doing?
I think that's great. You know, let's talk a little bit about what you know. What do you know about how to protect yourself from HIV?
I know I carry condoms in my purse, even though I've never had sex or ever planned on it.
So condoms.
Okay, how is condoms a good thing, and why does it protect you, at least to a degree, from HIV?
At least two reasons. One, at least if you're reaching in somewhere and you're pulling out the condom, that gives you time to think, one, I'm pulling this out for some reason, and... That gives you time to compare, do I really want to do this in the first place? Which that might stop you from doing it and stop the risk right there from AIDS. Two, it keeps I'm not saying it's entirely effective, but it does help keep most body fluids kind of separated.
We're talking semen.
Yeah. And it also helps prevent vaginal fluid, too, that has it from into it.
That's right. Or with anal sex, you protect the top and the bottom.
Right on.
Because, I mean, whenever two men, and we're talking men right now, whenever two men have anal sex, there's a risk associated for the top and the bottom as well.
Right.
Primarily, mostly for the bottom, but also for there can be a risk of HIV infection for the top.
And it's more likely, and so that's because it's more likely to... happen because it's a lot easier to ruin the sidings and sides.
Yeah, that's right.
All right, so what else do we know?
All right, what about oral sex?
Oral sex. What can we do about oral sex?
It's still sex, no matter whether you think it is or not.
Sex is sex. And that's, like we were saying, inevitable. Something you can do about oral sex. Condoms, again, and dental dams.
That's right.
Safe sex, safe sex, safe sex. And when people say safe sex, all they hear is sex. And they think, oh my God, we're talking about sex. We're talking about safe sex, and that's a good thing.
The important thing to realize is there's a risk associated with both. Although some may argue there's a less risk for one or the other, depending on what your role is, the bottom line is that there's a risk. And if you want to protect yourself, you wear a condom. Or you have your partner wear a condom. Or if you're... If we're talking to lesbians, then dental dams are something you need to do to protect yourself, potentially. I think another thing that we don't talk about is knowing who you're sleeping with.
Mm-hmm.
And asking questions about who you're sleeping with. One thing that I have done, and I want everyone who's listening to do, regardless of who you're sleeping with or who you want to have sex with, treat them as if they are HIV positive, whether they are or not. Ask what their status is, whether it's yes or no. It doesn't matter. Then when you have sex with that person, then you approach it as if they are HIV positive, because that's the best way that you're going to protect yourself.
You know, I'm glad you brought that up, and I wanted to go on something now that you started about it. Make sure, honestly, this is one good thing about the HIV status. Know your status. If
Absolutely.
You're out there and everything, get tested. Do anonymous, which I prefer to say anonymous because it's nobody knows except for you and the one person that be confidential. You can do confidential, but that means they're confidential unless they're asked for it by law or something. They can't give them out. But no matter what, get tested. And ask your partners to be tested, because guess what? Just because somebody says they've been tested or says they don't have AIDS or whatever else, good chances most people I gotta say this quote from Deb, and I'll say it again. Like she says, people lie to get laid. It's true and everything else. So if just do it so you know your status and everything.
And it's not always lying. Sometimes we simply don't know. Mm-hmm. Sometimes they simply don't know because they haven't been tested. Yeah. The person they were with wasn't tested. You haven't been tested. So, no. So, and I really like what you said. I don't think I've ever heard that analogy, that way of looking at it, treating everyone, no matter what they say, no matter what you say, treating it like it is. Mm-hmm. And I think that's excellent. I think that's a very, very good way to put it. I think that hits home. It definitely clicks in my head. I think it will with a lot of listeners and with a lot of kids our age.
It makes perfect sense. Any comments you'd like to mention, Brian?
No, I was just being
silent. He's just chilling. He's just chilling.
Unless you want to talk about SpongeBob.
No, I hate SpongeBob.
I wonder if he practices.
I don't think sponges reproduce.
We always heard there's like a relationship between Patrick and SpongeBob, so
sponges reproduce.
I know. They exist. It's inevitable.
They're real. They gotta reproduce. So do starfishes.
I don't know if they do sexual reproduction.
Starfishes.
I think there's combination, actually.
Starfish.
But the plural of starfish could
starfish
be starfishes.
Is.
No. Starfishes, starfish. Like you don't say deers. Deer.
Now, have you ever heard... Now, I know the plural of deer is deer, but have you really ever heard the plural of starfish?
Yes. Look at all the starfish. We won't get into grammar.
Look at all the starfishes.
Okay, I don't want to be critical.
I got Chinese starfishes.
Okay, no. Okay, so starfish would be the correct way to say that. Just
well,
FYI.
If that's true, then why do you say goose is geese and moose? But when you say moose, you don't say meese.
No, you say... Well,
you say mooses, so I can see starfishes.
Mooses?
Yeah.
Who says mooses? I say when I see a herd of moose. Okay? I say, whoa, look at all those moose.
Okay, well, you seen a herd
back
of moose?
On topic.
Okay, AIDS. Back on topic. AIDS.
Hey, look at that. AIDS, SpongeBob, moose.
Okay.
Whatever
so,
was you think we were talking about.
Starfishes.
Right. Starfish, moose, AIDS. Okay.
SpongeBob.
So we've come back to AIDS. So no subject should be taboo. And like we're talking about, you know, we talked about anal sex, we talked about dental dams, and it's a little awkward. And, you know, depending on what everyone's gender orientation is in the room. But you've got to talk about it. And we've all...
And you have to ask, too.
Yeah.
By God, if you're going to sleep with someone, you can ask them what their status is. And regardless of what they say, in your mind, you say they're positive. And you go forward with that information.
Seriously. And ask. Ask who? How? When? Have you been tested since then? Oh, why? I mean, why
have
could
you told
be a very
anybody
long
else?
Answer. No, and but you've got to be. I mean, it's not about being nosy. It's about knowing and protecting yourself. They can say you're being overprotective. You're being nosy. You're getting into their business.
What if a person promises to pull out right before they ejaculate?
Oh, that is such crap. Don't even get me started on pulling out.
Never mind.
No, say it. I mean, that's what you're going to hear. That's what you'll hear people say.
That's what they say, but you know what? You're not the one on the controlling...
There's no promise that they can control that and actually have the time to pull out before it happens.
And before it actually happens, there's stuff in front of it. I mean, that doesn't work with safe sex, and it doesn't
work... That's right,
work.
And there's a risk associated with pre-com, that's right.
And pregnancy, if it's, if we're talking about straight people.
And you should use a condom anyways.
And so people who think pulling out works is... And I've had friends who think pulling out works.
Absolutely.
And they are confident. And I say, girl, are you practicing safe sex? Are you using a condom so you won't get pregnant? And she says, oh, well, he pulls out and we have a towel and stuff. And I'm like, no.
That's right.
What is going on?
Pull out maneuver?
No. It's all or nothing. No subject should be taboo. And we can't just say, pretend we're doing things right. It's all or nothing. You wear the condom, you're protected, or you don't, and you aren't.
You know, what if you're in a relationship, committed relationship? After a while, do you stop using a condom?
I think you really got to grow that trust with that person, partner, whoever, before you stop. And you better make darn sure you got that trust, because I know a lot of people, they rush in the relationships, they think they're in love, they're actually infatuated. But then seven months, now they think they're committed and they're ready to get married.
In high
school,
7 months,
that other person goes, hey, you know, I was just messing with you.
Okay.
And that's it.
I don't even know what to say to them. I don't know whether to say, well, after 3 years, it's okay. You know, I mean, because you never know. You never know. And sadly,
have to have a bond with that person to be able to have. I mean, you would have to trust them enough to let them risk your health.
Exactly. You have to trust them enough. You have to trust and say, I trust you. You won't sleep with anyone else. By saying that and by not practicing safe sex, I trust you that you're going to infect me. And I don't know if that's safe. I don't know if I have a clear answer, yes or no, for you. I don't know if it's okay to stop. I don't know if it's okay to keep it going.
I'll tell you, it's a real question, and I think it's a difficult one. But I think it's one that people make all the time. And sometimes they gamble and they lose. I've talked with people who have gotten infected because their partner was infected after they had entered into a committed relationship. And which is hard for me to understand, because that means that their partner put themselves at risk for getting HIV, and then in turn
put their other partner
at risk. I just...
Just please don't, if you're straight or whatever, do realize that children do need to be born. So at one point in time, maybe think about it. But other than that, yes, try to be protective.
Here's the other thing to think about. How many women, one of the largest groups of people being infected with HIV are straight women.
African-American,
and you're right. Particularly when you break it down, African-American straight women are the highest group, one of the highest groups who are being infected. And why do you think that is?
I have no earthly
idea. I have no clue, but
I've heard
that.
The exact opposite. A few years ago, it was actually African-American straight men. So I have no idea how that goes from one way to the other.
I would say what I want to say, but
no, say
the way
it.
I feel, it would go into being a little biased, and I don't want to go around that way because that's not the way. But I honestly see it that not saying that all African women are like that, but nowadays white women are still considered to be proper and everything else. So in a way, it doesn't come around as being around sex, but back now, if you're in the African American class, not to say anything, y'all, there's not as much of a status for them. It's all family and everything else. So I think there's a little bit more trust there, and people have learned to bend that in that area.
I think the trust thing, I think you're kind of off mark, except for that last comment about the trust. I think what's happening is you're in a relationship with a guy, and he said, a straight relationship, and he says, trust me, you know, if you don't trust me, then if you trust me, you'll let me have sex, well, it'll be unprotected, and if you don't let me, then you don't trust me, and then we don't need to be blah, 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 blah. In the meantime, he's going to the gay bars and having sex with all these men while he's coming home and saying, and this is, I don't mean specifically for just the African American, it happens in all the communities, but they're having sex, unprotected sex with men, and coming home to their girlfriends and having sex with the girlfriends and saying, hey, what, you don't trust me? If you don't trust me, then maybe we shouldn't even be in the relationship. And through that argument, she agrees for him to have unprotected sex with her, and then guess what?
Bam.
She ends up HIV positive.
And it's not even about trust. As much as we'd like to think, okay, well, I love you, I trust you, it's not about trust. It's about knowing and there's no other way you can know. Trust cannot make you know. And while we're on the subject of women and sex with women, like straight sex, you know, people pose the question a lot, you know, should women carry condoms? And like, well, it's the guy's duty. And I hear dads say that to their sons all the time. Oh, well, you know, it's their duty to carry the condoms. No, as women, and I speak for, you know, women, okay, and even though, you know, I'm not sleeping with men, but it is our duty as humans to carry our own protection too. It is not someone's responsibility. It is both of our responsibilities.
Everybody, to me, everybody should have a condom around their neck. That way they always got it with them.
Now, gay, I don't mean take straight, it literally, lesbian, whatever. Bi, whatever
male,
you are.
Female,
top, bottom,
everyone's responsible. Butts, whatever. Carry a condom with you and everything. Carry a lubricant, carry whatever you want, but carry a condom because you never know when you got to break it out.
And if you're a woman, if you're a lesbian, if you're messing around with women, dental dams.
So carry a condom. That can even be used like a dental dam, too. If you want to go that far, just use something that you know to keep it with you.
Right on.
Yeah, absolutely.
Well, this has been a good conversation. I'm digging this. This is my first time doing Hatch Radio, and I love it.
Welcome to the Hatch Radio
right
show.
On.
I'm gonna.
You look like you're ready for a job interview.
I actually,
the new Ellen.
No. Do not call me
a little
the new
too
Ellen.
Far.
No, I know.
Keep swimming,
I love
swimming,
Ellen.
Swimming.
No, I love Ellen. I will never take her place.
I'm not saying that, but you're the new Ellen.
I know.
See, you got the pants and everything, and I'm surprised you're not dancing as you're walking in.
It's a power suit for sure.
I know. Yeah. I knew about the Hatch Radio show last minute. Madison texted me and said, no one else is doing it. And I was like, girl, I'll be there. And so I came back from an event, actually, so I'm in my work clothes. So.
Hey, you look good.
Thank you.
But then again, I'm always going to say that. So.
Oh, that's lovely. I feel so flattered. But, yeah. So, this was last minute. And I've never, like, been on the radio this late. Usually when I'm on the radio, it's like 10 in the morning. Full rested sleep, and it's like 2:30.
Well, that's because we're trying to get all the youth that come out of the parties that are trying to get on.
I have had two Red Bulls, and it's not working out. But are we getting short on time?
Yeah.
Yeah, we're getting close.
Okay.
I thought so.
Well, this has been an enlightening conversation.
Well, yeah. Before we leave, just to make it to add a twist, what is the proper way? Do you guys know the proper way to put on a condom? For a man to put on a condom?
Never had put one on, so I would not know.
Yes.
Yeah. Does anyone know?
Mm-hmm.
It too.
Would it be appropriate to give a little lesson on that, do you think?
That's fine with us.
This is for people who may not know. When you put the condom on, you want to squeeze the tip so that you get the air out of the tip.
Yeah.
And you roll it on to the penis. And you roll it all the way down. You want, and a lot of people don't know about squeezing the air out.
So yeah,
right.
There's room for the semen.
The ejaculation, right?
So yeah,
and then as soon as you ejaculate, then you want to hold the condom on.
Hold the tip and then take it off.
Right. Well, hold the base as you bring it out, take it off, and then dispose of it. You don't want to let it stay in too long without taking it off, because if you go flaccid or if you go soft, then it may have
the risk of coming out.
That's right. So you want to make sure that you protect yourself during the whole process of that.
All right.
And putting it on and taking it off are important parts of protecting yourself.
Definitely. Know how to. Nothing is taboo. Nothing is taboo.
For the people that don't know what flaccid mean, that's basically being soft.
Okay. So I think we covered that. Nothing's taboo.
Ending this, I just want to drop the numbers one more time. It's the Hatch phone number line, which you can call to get information on where we meet, which is 713-529-3590, or that's www.hatchyouth.org. There's also the Gay and Lesbian Switchboard, which is 713-529-3211. And also, I forgot to mention that there are some events coming up for Hatch, including next Friday we're going to have a speaker about the Holocaust from the Holocaust Museum, and the Friday after that we're going to have a little Christmas pink elephant get-together exchange.
Right.
So you're all welcome to join, come, and have a great time, and visit with everybody else.
Can I ask you, do you know if it's going to be a gay Holocaust survivor?
It's going to be a lady that works at the Holocaust Museum that's going to come talk about a project we're doing in a few months.
It's actually really, really cool.
And I
cool.
think you might want to be a part of it, and I think you should.
I've been to the Holocaust Museum twice.
We love Hatch, and Hatch loves us.
All right, thank you.
Thanks.
Because we ring down the mic. I have no idea what I'm about to play. Daddy Rose gave it to me.
to play something about Mrs. Claus. This is After Hours, Queer Radio with Attitude. Coming up next, The Bisonette Show.
I was just 17 when you rolled into town. Just a girl full of fantasies and longings. I saw you. I knew I had to be with you. Then you looked in my eyes and you asked me my name. And I trembled before you like a baby. And gently I kissed you. Who could resist you? You took me home. And before I had the chance to take control, we retired to your palace on the pole, where we only had ourselves and the reindeer and the elves, and a lot of things we never said about the life I could have led if I had had the sense to stay away. But here we are, Nick, and so, Nick, I know it's time for you to go, Nick. Claim you for my own. I've been resigned to spend my Christmases alone. And so au revoir, Nick. It's grand, Nick. I don't pretend to understand, Nick. I saw you look at Blitzen long and lovingly. I have sat 20 years in this drafty retreat as the latest in the line of Mrs. Clauses. I've sat and wondered what you want from me. But you sit by yourself on the couch in the den and you watch Miracle on 34th Street. You get sad and dreamy. Can't even see me. It's time for you to go, ha! Sling your sack upon your back and ho, 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 ha! And what matters most of all is to sit inside the mold. And you never think of me while I am pining by the tree. But never mind, I will survive when you are gone. I set you free, Nick. Goodbye, Nick. Go wide your wings here through the sky. Suppose you'll ever want me by your side. I know you now, you want a plaything, not a bride. Turn your way, Nick. Shalom, Nick. Don't feel the need to hurry home, Nick. Should I need comfort in the cold and bitter storm, Nick, I didn't mean it. I'm just going crazy all cooped up in here. Oh, Nick, I mean, come on. I'm not even German. Please take me with you, please. I'm your wife, damn it. Isn't there 1 ounce of human decency buried beneath all those layers of fat? Oh, you disgust me. Oh, yes, it's so easy to judge, isn't it? Deciding who's naughty and who's nice. Well, who died and left you gone, Mr. Claus? But never mind, Nick. Okay, Nick. I'd hate to keep you from your plane, Nick. When you return, I will be many miles away. I'll have my lawyer call your lawyer. Come for me, Nick.
For Mrs. Claus, who usually you think of being Scandinavian, Finnish, something like that, she was awful Transylvanian. That was courtesy of Daddy Rose, who will be singing, will be part of the group singing that song on Tuesday with the women's chorus, Surabaya, with the song of Mrs. Claus. This is After Hours, Queer Radio with Attitude. Y'all ready in there? Cause
just about.
Your mics are on. Yeah, Robin, just grab hold of it and rip it out, why don't you?
I love it when she does that.
La 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 la. Are we still going with the name Binet, or if we change the name? With the host?
Our name for this segment is the Bisexual Agenda.
Ah, okay.
Yeah, we have an agenda. We've got to take over the world.
We're going to contaminate everybody.
Right.
The original
inspiration name was, you know, people say there's a homosexual agenda. And just sort of taking that and just playing with it a little bit and say, yeah, we do have an agenda to say, hey, it's all right to be who you are.
Oh, no, you're just greedy people.
Right. Yeah, we want it all.
You want it all.
Yeah.
Just joking.
Okay.
So while y'all are talking, I'll have to find some bisexual Christmas music.
Okay.
I know I have one song at least, okay, that's bisexual.
If not, just play some Prince.
Okay.
He's not openly queer.
Right.
But
just a little strange.
Yes. A strange can be good. So, take it away.
Alrighty. Figure, you know, this month's subject, we talked about some stuff last month, which was kind of a heavy subject, you know, basically racism and all the other isms. Figured this month kind of come up with something a little lighter. And Robin, you were wanting to talk about relationships.
Oh, yeah.
From a bi perspective. You know, I guess, you know, we can, your experiences and what you observed, you know, talk about my own experience and, you know, whatever. Kind of just start talking and see what we say.
Well, we can talk about there's different types of relationships that are bi.
Yeah.
Like you have polyamorous and then you have the one-on-one.
Right.
And you just have like just plain old relationships where you just basically go to one person or another. You have like maybe two or three friends.
Right.
On the side type thing. And it's okay for the other person.
Right.
The partner.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's an old joke that, you know, being bisexual means you should never have trouble finding a date. And for some people, that may be how they live it. But, yeah, but other people may, you know, favor one direction or another. Since most people who are labeling themselves bi, yes, they have some sort of a interest in both men and women, but no more tendency is probably still going to be to favor one direction or the other. And, yep.
Well, then they've got the groups like me and you, for instance. Well, I kind of have a tendency to kind of like table more on the straight side, and I notice you do too.
Right.
So we have a tendency to be more attracted to the opposite sex, but we do have that maybe category 4.
Yeah.
Or 5.
Right.
Thing with the opposite sex.
Right. Well, it's like, you know, our example, we are having this, our, you know, my primary relationship right now is with you, and of course yours is with mine. But we have, our relationship is open enough that we can kind of do something on the side, you know, just long, you know, taking appropriate precautions and all that.
Yeah, like, I mean, like you have the nudist group and you go to other groups that are considered only a male auction.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you make sure you use your proper protections and things like that. Don't bring home anything. And I might go out to Chances or do some little, you know, little flirting or whatever myself.
Yeah, talking about what we do, there's a website I've been looking at recently. It's called it's www.3circlegraph.com, and I forget the name of the guy who wrote it, but I'll go look at it later because I've been reading through the website and some stuff he's written there, and want to talk, may get contact with this man and maybe work out some deal, get interview him, either get him call in on the show or talk to him later and record it. But he talks about subject of bisexuality and kind of expands on it from kind of what most people normally think of it. And he talks about how it's possible for someone to have attractions in different areas. And then Fritz Klein talks about that with sexual orientation grid, that it's possible to have a strong attraction, say, towards, you know, in one direction, in one area of life, but it's a different attraction in another. You know, something I've read in some of his writings applies to me. It's possible to have, you know, say, a platonic attraction to men and a romantic attraction to women, but a sexual attraction to both.
Oh, yeah.
And sort of like that's how I judge my own experience. You know, right now, you know, do on, you know, a very regular basis, not all, you know, maybe at least one or two times a month, go out and seek out a sexual experience with a guy. And some of these people I know are, I know in other circles I hang out with, so that I consider them to be friends, and there's a relationship there I'm developing, but I don't plan to marry the guy.
Yeah. Yeah.
Whereas I would feel more likely to do that with a woman, you know, like you right now. And, that, you know, that right now that seems to work for me.
And then you got groups that are polyamorous. There's some groups that are polyamorous where both couples are bisexual, like me and you are. And then there's other groups where only one of the spouses is bisexual and one is straight.
Right.
Well, one would probably have a girlfriend or a boyfriend, and either they're be in it together or they'll go in the other room or leave the, you know, let them have a little time together.
Right.
Now, there's different ranges of bisexuality, and then you have the one-on-one where they might not even ever be with the opposite sex,
right,
but they do have those bisexual tendencies.
Right. The interest is still there, even though the person in question may, you know, be choosing, well, right now I want to be in this one-on-one relationship.
Uh-huh. It's all decided, and they decided on that together as a relationship when they came together. Instead of trying to control each other.
Right. And, well, work out. You know, I know at one time, you know, this year before we met, you actually had some relationships with women where it was a more one-on-one. And I think
A lot of times when I did get with women, they weren't bisexual, and they were lesbian.
Mm-hmm.
And most cases, not all of them, but most cases, lesbians have a problem with bisexuals.
Hmm.
So it's better just to be one-on-one with them. And then every now and then you might run into a bisexual female that's cool with that.
Right.
But women are so more closed anyway when it comes to venturing out with other people.
Okay.
They're more romantic and more likely more into the emotional stuff than the mechanical stuff with males. So it might be most likely more of women having more close relationships anyway. Kind of like Pago and Rose.
Right.
They kind of have more of a close relationship.
Right.
And then it would be bisexual males because they're more mechanical based, even though they have emotions too.
Right. Much more into the physical.
Yes.
That's like, you know, I described that for myself. You know, you're mentioning, you know, this nudist group. I am involved in what is basically a predominantly gay men's nudist group that meets regularly at people's houses for dinner and all, and we're sitting around naked. And while it's, you know, primarily a social group, if the person who's hosting is all right with it, there can be a little playtime going on, so a little, you know, sexual activity going on. And it's usually if the person hosting is all right with it, they'll actually have a room set up just for that. And I actually was at such a party this evening, you know, had a good dinner, had a chance to visit with some people, and then they had, like I said, had a room set aside with some videos going, and I went in there and, well, had some quality time with a couple guys in there.
And
doing it.
You know, and I went somewhere and I done something to have fun, you know. You know, I went to Barnett Movie Night tonight. They had Barnett Movie Night. And I went to that and hung out, watched movies, and ate chili, you know. So, you never know. And I'm every now and then, one of my male friends might pop up and I might go fool around with them.
Right.
You know. So, and you know, you cool with it and everything.
Right.
Every blue moon.
All right. So, let's see. So, yeah. You know, we talked earlier, you know, talking about, you know, why you know, say some your experience, you know, with your own bisexuality, you've sometimes gotten resistance from other women who were basically lesbians, or you know, as we tend to think of that definition.
My last girlfriend, I kind of felt like she might have been bisexual, but she hadn't really acknowledged that yet.
Mm-hmm.
And right. What really messed up our relationship, that she knew that I was bisexual, and her fear was I was going to go with a guy and leave her.
Okay.
And it kept coming up in the relationship, even though none was going on.
Right.
So that's what kind of broke a relationship. And it's hard to find a woman that's very open. See, me, I'm very open. You know, I can go out and see an eye candy or some good-looking guy or some good-looking woman and go for with her and don't have any emotional connection to it. I mean, you have a good friendship and everything, but we're never going to get married or nothing like that.
Right.
Most women don't do that type of thing. It's very serious.
Very
emotional. And so a lot of women kind of look at me as a slut or whatever you want to call it. They just kind of have a hard time translating it. There's some other women out there that are the same way, but it's mostly the other way.
Right.
So I run into conflicts when I date women like that.
I was going to say, my own experience, like I said, I'm involved with this nudist group because I'm also a nudist, so I enjoyed that. And there's a couple other groups to hang out with where I'm kind of the token quote-unquote straight guy. I always put that in quotes, you know, straight but not narrow. And my own experience is, hey, basically, I tell them where I'm coming from, that I got a girlfriend and all that, and say, hey, come on in. You're welcome. So, generally speaking, if anybody's had any problems with it, they've not talked to me about it.
And I had the same experience with other gay men. They basically took it as a grain of salt. They didn't make a big deal about it.
Right.
I mean, I don't know, it's just males or just different about those type of things.
Well, we're animals, so we're proud of that, so. anyway.
Because I seen a gay man and that's this couple that used to come to the Binet all the time. And one was fully gay and one of them was bisexual. And they were like together, like they could have been married. They were together for a long time. And they accepted each other. Then there was another couple with a female and a male. Female was straight. Male was bisexual.
Mm-hmm.
You know? And I kind of wanted to get into the issues about how sex and everything is with bisexuals. Like, bisexual males wouldn't mind a female wearing a strap on and having them, you know, do anal.
You're right.
And you know, a lot of times you don't see that in straight-on-straight relationships.
I've heard some stories, but I otherwise get the point.
So,
there's a few. I don't know. This website I was talking about earlier, the guy is talks about that what we might call bisexuality is probably much more common. Just that most people may not be aware that they can have sexual feelings for the same sex. Men can actually have probably stronger feelings for other men. But it's not acknowledged because of the social pressure.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
So they're not going to go out and admit that they're having a girlfriend wearing a strap on.
Right.
Doing sexual intercourse. Right.
And there are some straight guys who do some strange things.
we can go there.
Right.
But it's come to strange.
Yeah, well, we'll wait for Gigi to come by next week and talk about that. That's his department. So.
But, yeah, I mean, with the straight man and the bisexual male and the straight woman, a lot of times the straight woman mostly accept him being bi, would separately be gladly to do those different stuff to please him.
Right. Whereas on the other hand, there's probably some straight men who would be delighted if they knew their wives or girlfriends were bi.
Oh, yeah, so they can have those woman-on-woman things so they can watch.
Right. And for some men, that is a big turn-on. I'll be honest. I've talked about it before. I've seen videos and live action, seeing two women going at each other, and it was interesting, but it was not for me a big turn-on. Somebody gave us that DVD that we watched last week, all quote unquote lesbian sex scenes, and I think it's more like it's, you know, some straight man's fantasy of a lesbian sex scene.
Yeah.
And it's like, you know, I'm watching that, and basically I was tend to pay attention to one woman or the other. I did not get turned on by the fact they're playing with each other, but, you know, just looking at the individuals.
For me, I'm looking at the whole shebang and getting kind of turned on by it a little
right.
bit.
I was grateful for that last week.
And this is how I deal that by you liking men as much as you like women, kind of by that turn on that I'm more butch and have a tendency to dress more manly anyway than feminine. And if I was real, real feminine and high maintenance, you probably would have never was attracted to me.
Yeah, really. I couldn't afford you.
It's kind of one of those things I'm so glad because I don't really don't dig being all high maintenance kind of thing. I had past relationships with straight males who wanted me to be high maintenance, and they was trying to change me. So I'm kind of glad that to run it. And most bisexual males usually accept a woman if she, you know, dress a little manly or whatever. They usually accept that.
Okay. And I was mentioning earlier, you note the idea of polyamory, which has been talked about on the show before.
Yeah, DJ used brought it up a couple of times.
And that can take on various forms, which may or may not involve bisexuality, but it can happen. So because basically, traditionally, in our culture, in lots of cultures, we think about, you know, a relationship being between a man and a woman, whereas the polyamory talks about having more than that core, that, you know, the two people, that maybe, you know, three people, or it could be, I know of one group where I think it's five people who consider themselves to be a family.
Yeah, they all move in the same house, so.
Right.
Or maybe they live in a duplex.
Yeah.
And then it's the family, the guy that I dated a couple of years ago, which he was straight and his wife was straight. And I basically would have a relationship with him. He would take me out to dinner, and she basically stayed out of the picture.
Okay.
And, you know, you would have relationships like that, but we would never get married or nothing like that. It's just something kind of like on the side, and I just kind of accepted that. And there's a lot of polyamorous groups that does that type of thing.
Oh, yeah. But, I know something, let's see what that, you know, concerning the issue of, you know, where you may have a couple, man and woman, and in this specific example, the encountered, the woman's straight, but the man is bi.
Mm-hmm.
But he's kind of having to keep it secret from her.
That sucks.
Yeah. And he wants to go out and have encounters. I mean, there's this couple of Yahoo groups I'll check out, and there'll be guys posting, saying, hey, I want to get together. And something that happens very common is that you'll say, the wife's out of town this weekend. Who wants to come over?
Hey, what's that you was telling me at Midtown that you find a lot of guys in there that are married,
right,
and their wives
the
probably
spas.
Don't know they're there?
I get that impression.
Yeah.
Even this nudist group, I've encountered men who were, you know, apparently they're bi, and they're there, you know, get a chance to be, you know, whether, you know, be nude, be with other men in a sexually charged environment. It doesn't necessarily mean we're all having an orgy there every time, but, you know, like I said, if the host is okay, there may be a little some space set aside.
And, you know, Midtown Spa is going to be some action going on
yeah.
there anyway.
And, you know, and, of course, the Club Houston, not that we're leaving out anybody out.
And other facilities.
Right. But that there is that complication that, you know, will have an effect on the relationship. I mean, technically speaking, if some guy is going out and having sex outside of marriage with another man, it's still technically adultery. And, you know, our culture has a lot of issues around that.
And then it's the risk of spreading AIDS and other things going on that because you're not being careful. You want to want to ride bareback. And
I have to step in real quick and let you know. You're listening to After Hours, Queer Radio with Attitude. Listener-sponsored, commercial-free Pacifica Radio for the Gulf Coast. KPFT Houston, 90.1 FM and 89.5 down in Galveston. And always the World Wide Web at kpft.org.
Yep.
Okie dokie.
So, I think it's legal.
Okay.
Yes.
Well, good.
Yeah,
don't
we want everybody
come and knock on the door when I get home tonight.
And we want everybody to know that this station is the only liberal station in Houston that allows gay issues.
Right. I'm talking about bisexuality and other strange things.
Whatever radio station have you ever heard of, or even a program on television that talks about bisexuality? It's like, none.
I did hear a program once out of Dallas. I was driving up that way and picked up the signal. It was, I think it was only an hour-long show. I'm not sure how often it was, but it was a three-hour show like we got here. So, anyway, back to relationships.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
We were talking about, well, you know, how some gay men and even lesbian women or bi women would go out and have, like, affairs and stuff, and they don't tell their spouses. Which brings a riff later on when they find out.
Right. Now, even nothing, you know, we talk about the issue around, catching, some disease or something, wanting to practice safe sex. But, even there, I mean, sometimes when I hear the term safe sex, I think in terms not just simply make sure the condoms are handy. It's about the whole issue of being aware of who you're dealing with, the personalities matching, is it safe to get together? And, of course, the issue of what side effects you have, like I said, if the other spouse finds out.
Oh, yeah. It's like Mount St. Helen.
Yeah, you're right.
I mean, and then you got this thing down low stuff going on, and it's just making a really big problem, and social society,
Right.
And you it's a good idea. That's why I tell a lot of guys that are like that. I say, well, maybe you ought to try to find a woman that's just as open as you are. But you're going to have to accept the fact that she might want to be with somebody else that's the same sex like you do. You gotta, it can't be a double-edged sword here.
That's why I sometimes say, we have a open relationship, and, occasionally, like I said, Bill, go out and play with somebody else, and you do it too, and you seem to be all right with me.
Yeah.
And occasionally, I'll, find myself feeling just a little jealous. But I also believe in the idea of what's good for the goose is good for the gander, and you're going to respect me and allow me that freedom. I'm going to allow it for you. If I got an issue with it, I'm going to deal with it.
For me, it's like, I get a little jealous a little bit. I kind of, not just because you're with somebody else, I'm thinking run off, but because sometimes you be in these groups where no women are allowed.
Really.
I want to go too.
Yeah.
But I never thought that maybe you would run off.
I'm not going to do that.
But I mean, so I'm not going nowhere. It's like, it's hard to find men like you. You think I'm going to let that go?
Okay. Getting all kind of mushy on here on the show.
Okay. You don't want to have the microphones all wet and everything. You make sure it stays dry.
Okay. Yeah. Especially when Jimmy's not here to watch. Anyway. So, let's see. Okay, I'm blank. Okay, say something.
Well, we can talk about relationships when it comes with our families.
Okay.
How families feel about it and how parents feel about it. The idea that it's bisexuality instead of gay or lesbian, it's a lot harder for them to comprehend and understand that than they would with gay and lesbian. Because gay and lesbian seems more chiseled in stone, more... and bisexual is kind of like, it's just starting to really circulate and get an understanding. So I can see how parents kind of look at it.
Right.
A lot of times they just don't believe that bisexuality just don't exist. So that could be issues.
Well, it exists. I mean, we are still in the process of finding who we are, but that's one of those things where you could, again, this our thing on the internet I was reading about talks about the issue around labels. Don't want to get stuck. I'm not the label.
I don't want to get stuck in the form.
Right. Of course, having a label may help me to better understand what I'm experiencing. It's a mirror. And so,
it's the same thing as being called African American, or being Anglo American or something like that.
Right.
It's the label, because you're kind of like in this culture, so you want to put yourself in a certain.
Right.
Just to be able to identify yourself to others. Well, I was talking about my mom, basically, I never really brought it up with her or anything like that. And I never really telling my family that you were bisexual. Because I just felt like maybe they shouldn't know about it. But my friends and everybody, they all know that you're bi.
Right.
It's easier because they understand, because they're more openly open
right
with such a gay and lesbian lifestyle. you know, you can explain it and what bisexuality is, because a lot of people to this day don't know what that is.
Right.
I mean, all my life I knew what gay and lesbian was, you know, going through school and everything. But I didn't have no idea what bisexual was until I was in my mid-20s. I ran into Gigi.
Okay.
So you run into those issues where you had to explain everything to get somebody to understand.
All right. I was thinking that, you know, we talk about, you know, relationships from a bi perspective. Of course, you know, when it comes down to, you know, what we tend, you know, say what tends to be, we're talking about here and kind of what may on the show, the after our show, we talk about, we are talking about kind of the sexual aspect. I mean, ultimately, the only difference, say, between a gay man and a straight man is who do you want to have sex with. Otherwise, it's, you know, they're still just, it's still a relationship.
And, you know, bisexuality is not just sex. It's,
right.
It's a lifestyle. It's a personality. It's a way of life.
Right.
I mean, you can be bisexual and never have sex with the opposite sex or
right.
have, you know, whatever. You can be a priest or somewhere where you don't never have sex again, you know,
right.
and be bisexual.
Yeah. And for me, it's like I was saying earlier, this website was talking about how there's various, you know, they're trying, this website called, you know, the threecirclegraph.com. Kind of interesting read. The guy's got this drawing where he's showing what amounts to three planets. Three drawings of three planets. And each one represents, you know, one's, you know, straight, the other one's bi, the third one's gay, and there's other things about it, and how they kind of overlap. And again, it talks about, you know, the natural tendency is probably going to be to favor one side or the other. And that it's possible to have, you know, attractions in different areas. And again, it's like we were talking about there, it's possible, and I find this for me, that most of my relationship, really at this point, most of my relationships are with men. There are a few specific ones with women, but most of them are men, and most of those are non-sexual. They are platonic.
Mm-hmm.
Then the women, the relationships with women I have, most of those might be kind of more romantic. You know, that's our relationship.
Yeah.
Yeah, I have within me the willingness and the interest in being sexual with both men and women.
Yeah. But it's more mechanical with men, yeah. It's more emotional with the female.
Right. I just enjoy the sensations and the feelings. I like, you know, oh, that guy's touched me in that special way. keep doing it. Don't stop. Anyway, but of course, you know, when we play, you know, play around, same thing. You're like, oh, keep doing that. But there's still, you still have another, there's still an emotional aspect to that.
Uh-huh, yes, exactly.
And like I said, there's a lot of men I know who I can be very honest with and be very open with, but I don't expect to jump in bed with them anytime soon.
Yeah.
Not to say that I wouldn't object to it, but I don't think they're open to it, and I'm not going to push it. And
yeah.
At the same time, it's not necessarily a strong attraction. You know, if they wanted to, yeah, I might be interested, but it's not, again, it's like, let's keep the relationship as it is. Whereas somebody else who maybe might be bi, sexual, may favor the gay side more, they may have more of a emotional attraction or a romantic attraction to men, whereas it might be more of a platonic attraction to women.
Uh-huh, exactly.
And still want to play with, you know, have sex with both.
Yeah, so there's a different range of relationships when it comes to bisexuality.
Right.
I don't know, it might be more range than it when it comes to straight and gay, but the range is just as broad and wide.
Right.
And it's like you can write a book about it, and it's real thick.
Some people have.
Like the bisexual auction.
Right. Pardon me. Okay.
So, I mean, we could talk about, pardon me, we could talk about different things about relationships, and we could talk about how we have relationships with just our friends.
Right.
Like I have some other friends on the side, but it's just like we trust each other and respect each other, but they should never get married or nothing like that.
Right.
Would happen. It's just one person that I want to get married with.
Right.
It's just nice to be able to have this openness and not be so closed with all these restrictions and rules.
Yeah. To be open, though, requires being honest.
Exactly.
Being willing to speak your truth, talk about where you're at, going on. There's a lot of people don't want to do that. You know, be it your natural tendency or, you know, the experience they had growing up, what society teaches. I mean, as much as I might enjoy being sexual man, I'm still can be uncomfortable talking about it in certain situations. And, you know, just be a little embarrassed, you know, that's a little like, okay, what's this person going to think of me if I say something about this?
Yeah, I get that.
And, of course, you know, I say that, you know, say, oh, I like to go play with guys. Well, I still like to play with women, too. Because if anything, I have, probably have greater opportunities to go outside our relationship with other men than I do with other women.
Yeah, and I can kind of see how that can happen. Because women are, you're a man yourself, so you don't know what a woman's thinking. It's kind of hard to figure them out.
Right.
It's like we hard to figure out men. And when you're with another man, you kind of get an idea of what he may be thinking
right.
and stuff. And, you know what to say to him and what to ask and all mm-hmm. that stuff. With a woman, you got to worry about you're going to offend her and all that stuff, and she's going to get mad, dump her drink on you or something like that.
Okay.
So that's a whole different concept when it comes to men and women anyway.
Right. So, anyway.
So,
you take a break?
Yeah, I could go and do a break. I've kind of run out of things to say. I need
yeah,
to
no problem.
So do a quick break and then come
yeah,
back
I've
do some
a,
more.
I got a song here.
Okay.
A little bit of bisexuality for Christmas.
Oh,
yes.
Okay.
A little bit of the down low.
Oh, okay.
Go-Go Boys again. And this is called Harv and Harold.
Mm.
And this is After Hours.
They were by. Every Wednesday they come round. They'd show up and they'd go down. Yes, they've been around the block. They love their wives and they love cock. Yes, they've been around the block. They love their wives and they love cock.
A little bit more of the Go-Go Boys.
All right.
Harv and Harold. My new car now, has a CD player. So I was listening to, after I picked up the music from Jimmy's place today, I was driving around listening to the Go-Go Boys.
Okay.
So, fun stuff like that.
Yeah. All right. So we're back. Talking about bisexual things.
And you wanted to open up the phone lines if someone wants to throw in their 2 cents worth.
Yeah, really. Oh, yeah. We're just anybody have any comments or questions or anything like that, just give us a ring.
713-526-5738. 713-JAM-KPFT.
Right. Now we're going to talk about Rob and I have had obviously different experiences, being different people. I would say, you know, talking about her, she's probably had, really, for practical purposes, have had more experiences than I have for various reasons. I've tended, well, getting in a lot of details, I'm a person who has been in various processes recovering from some anxiety conditions which have gotten away my ability to have relationships. So, I mean, here I am in my mid-late 40s, and she's my first really serious relationship I've had, even though I have had other relationships in the past. So, you know, when we talk about our experiences, you know, I have to take that into account, but, the effects of things that have happened in my life that have had an effect on my ability to have relationships. I mean, I get in a lot of details. I have come to realize I do have some sort of anxiety condition that can get away my ability to trust people and be more close to them. I'm doing a lot better than I did years ago. Been doing the work. I'm actually reading a book right now on the subject of fear and anxiety and reading through it. And it's like, okay, who wrote this book about me?
And the book is called Monsters in the Cave.
The Monster in the Cave, How to Face Your Fear and Anxiety and Live Your Life. I find it a very enjoyable book. Gives me some initial insight about what I've been personally dealing with. And I think in the long term, it gives me a better understanding about what issues I may still have around, say, my own homophobia that I still find myself dealing with. In that it is, anyway, a phobia, a fear, which does not serve any logical purpose and actually gets in the way of me being more in touch with a part of myself, which I actually find that I enjoy. But that's something which I am quite willing to do, to deal with and talk about. You know, I'm here to talk about it on the radio, so.
Well, that's a good way to get over it.
Yeah, really. You know, tell it to about 100,000 people. How many people are listening in tonight?
And, you know, it turns on relationships with men and women, too.
Right.
Because you have this thing going in your head about, oh, that's wrong to be with men, even though you have these feelings.
Right.
And then it kind of ties in with men. You have a relationship. You know, it ties into a lot of things.
Mm-hmm. So that's where I'm coming from. Because then I...
So,
you know, that's the other thing that can have an effect on relationships is, you know, their social, the messages we all received growing up, you know, again, from a bisexual perspective. Of course, you know, people who are gay would be dealing with this fact, the social message in our culture and perhaps most cultures in general is kind of like, well, the normal relationship is whether, you know, between a man and a woman. And yeah, perhaps it is going to be the most common form since that's what's sort of biologically designed to do. But in practice, we humans are capable of having other forms of relationships, you know, be sexual, non-sexual, romantic, non-romantic, platonic, whatever, just plain friendships. And that there's a lot broader spectrum available what kind of relationships we can have with each other.
And then, you know, you got to deal with situations like your jobs, you go to school.
Right.
You know, you got to kind of, you can, maybe at your job you can't come out and be open. Mm-hmm. Bisexual, gay, and lesbian. And a lot of times I tell people I have a boyfriend, but a lot of times I don't tell them that we're both bisexual because maybe the feedback we might get might not be all that good. It might affect the job or whatever.
Right.
Like I noticed at your previous jobs that you didn't tell anyone that you were bisexual. And you said you had a girlfriend, and you just made people actually think that it was just a heterosexual relationship.
Right. And functionally, it is.
Mm-hmm. And so you got to, on account of that, and that can cause a little anxiety a little bit.
Yeah.
You know, it causes anxiety for me.
Right.
And how do you say don't have anxiety?
Okay. Well, good. So, well, like, you know, you've had some varied experiences, you know, stories you've told me about, you know, your boyfriends and your girlfriends and... I don't know what kind of reception you've gotten from people about your own bisexual tendencies.
I had a boyfriend that he was very, very religious.
Mm-hmm.
Very, into religious, fundamentalists.
Okay.
Fundamentalists. And I told him, you know, the second time we met up, I put everything on the table. I said, I want you to know everything about me before we go any further. I told him I was bisexual. And so the first thing he wanted to do was try to change me into being straight. Wanted to try to fix me. So I ran into relationships like that where they were, okay, now we find a way to fix it because you're going to hell and it's a sin. Hmm. You know, so then you run into relationships where I'm kind of butchy. I kind of have this butchy thing going here. And I've been like that ever since I can remember. You know, they try to make you feminine because they feel like, oh, women are supposed to be feminine. They're not supposed to have any masculinity whatsoever. They just have this cultural thing that's been taught to them that, oh, men are this way and women this way. And bisexual world, and even in the gay and lesbian world, there are masculine and there are feminine. Like, there are masculine males and there are feminine males and there are masculine women and feminine women.
Right.
I mean, you got these gays that are flaming and they they twisting when they walk and they got this flamboyant attitude.
Right.
You know, I did my nails. You like my nails? You know. And then you got these guys, you can walk up on them and you swear they're straight.
Right.
It's like, okay, no feminine, no estrogen, no nothing. You know, just straight up manly, you know. And the same thing with women. You got these, what you call fishes, you know. Fish or film or, you know, they very high maintenance. They dress all feminine and high class or whatever, and hoochie or whatever you want to call it. And then you got the women that are very, very masculine, very good. Right. Got a lot of testosterone.
Okay.
You know, they work at the auto mechanic store. They have this knowledge that a lot of men have when it comes to tools and all that stuff. You know, so we have, then you have like somebody that's in the middle like me. I'm very butch and masculine, but I cannot figure out what a tool is. I can't fix anything. You know, I can cook my butt off.
Okay.
You know, I know a lot of fashion things. I know how to color coordinate a house and everything. But when you see me, you're going to think, oh, man, she's a straight-up dyke or she's a butch. You know. So you got that you got to deal with. And I think that might have something to do with me being bisexual, too. Because the reason why I turn out to be bisexual, because I do have this male side of me that wants to come out. And I allow it to come out. I don't try to hold it back.
Mm-hmm.
And then I got this feminine side of me that likes to cook and likes to talk on the phone with her girlfriends and, you know, be girly.
Okay.
And I see a lot of men doing the same thing, especially by men.
Right. I know I've had experience a couple of times of meeting men who, the way they act, I start getting, I wonder if this guy's gay. And then he introduces me to his wife and children. And, I quickly figure out, no, he has no interest in other guys, you know, sexually speaking. So, set aside that misconception.
I ran into some males like that. I swear to God, they were gay. It's like, I'm like, where is the testosterone? It's like, well, you need testosterone shots.
Okay.
I mean, but he's married, and like I said, married, got kids.
Right.
You know.
Doing fine.
Knows where around a car and all that stuff, you know. So it's amazing how the personality can range from here to there.
Right.
And in the middle.
Mm-hmm.
So.
But, kind of harping back on earlier, we were talking about earlier. I know one time you've talked about, maybe we can do this in another month too, talking about the subject of the down low.
Oh, yeah.
That would be a phenomenon, something which, from my perspective, seems to exist within the black, the African American culture. And of course, the white guys got to do it too.
The white guys do it too. And then you got the Hispanic and the Orientals doing it too. A lot of these guys are so masculine, you cannot. He's what? Because he doesn't have any, or maybe he knows how to hide it.
Right.
And when he's out with his gay friends or something, he's all, hey, what's up, and all that. But as soon as they get with their straight friends, they're kind of like very masculine, very man. You know, it's like, you got to deal with that situation too.
Right.
And so, it's a situation with you. You know your way around tools. You got a bunch of toolboxes in your back of your, in the cab of your truck.
Right.
I mean, you drive a pickup truck.
Right.
I mean, I can't get you to buy a new pair of shoes for nothing.
Okay.
And, but then you have this sensitivity that most straight men don't have.
Right.
Like, you prefer to cuddle than to just jump on somebody's bones right away.
Okay.
You know, you don't. Most guys, they're like, want to go right away. I'm the one that wants to go at it right away.
Right.
And you kind of like want to just foreplay. And, you know, and then you're sensitive, you know,
right.
You cry. I mean, a lot of men just don't do that.
Mm-hmm.
Just,
yeah.
And, you know, and here I am, real butchy and masculine, and I got an attitude and being mad and everything. But don't go my way around a toolbox to save my life.
Okay. Anyway, you know, it's hard talking about, but, you know, as this relates to relationships, you know, we're talking about there about how people are able to get along, how, you know, deal with their opposites, you know, how the contrast and all. But, you know, I was talking about, you know, like I said, the issue of the down low.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, here you have someone who, you know, mostly male, who, you know, is either perhaps is gay and still in the closet, or, you know, is at least bi and in a environment where, you know, they can't really talk about it. And
they don't want to leave that environment.
Right.
They like that. A lot of times they're in the church, and the church just don't accept it.
Right.
But they like that environment. They feel... Like me, experience of going to church, the good experience I had of going to church is being able to release a lot of stress that was going on in the black community.
Right.
Kind of like the community I'm in right now, the Fourth Ward, Freemanstown area, where we have a lot of these things going on around us that related to racism, classism,
mm-hmm.
All kinds of isms going on.
Right.
And we're not allowed to express it, because if we do, we end up going to jail or arrested. You know, it'd be against the law or whatever.
Right.
So church is a good way to get it out. You shout, sing,
right.
Or whatever. It's a good way to get it out of the system. And then the church was basically a main foundation during the civil rights movement, where Martin Luther King and everybody in the masses met at a church.
Right.
He was a preacher at a certain church. I can't remember the name of it right now.
Right.
But it was a Baptist church. And everybody would meet up and congregate, and they would plan on, okay, we're going to boycott this, we're going to march, whatever. And it was the foundation. The church was basically foundation. It's kind of like the sanctuary, kind of like Hunchback of Notre Dame. Where, you know, Hunchback was always, sanctuary, sanctuary, you know, he was safe there.
Right.
They couldn't hurt him there. So it's the same concept.
Uh-huh.
We still have that. Even though we're gay, lesbian, bi, we still want that.
Right.
But they don't accept gays to be open in there. So they go ahead and hide it. So
right.
They wouldn't sacrifice it. With white people, it's a different whole ball game when it comes to church for them. So what they do is they just form their own church, or maybe go
right.
to one that's
yeah.
already open to it.
Yeah. And I have met men in one of some of these circles I hang, you know, gay men circles I hang out with, who are perhaps would be considered to be bisexual, but they can't, you know, again, they can't tell their family because of fundamentalist religion or some reason that, yeah, in fact, they can't really be out.
And it's that idea that, you know, you being gay is not being a man.
Right.
I mean, a lot of the things about why you can't cry and all that stuff.
Right.
They related that to being gay and so-called faggoty or wimpy and wearing pink or whatever. They kind of relate that to that. And so here you're, you know, gay. And, well, you want to please your father or whatever, and you don't want people to think you're a wimp anyway, so you hide it anyway.
Right. Yeah. Like I said, I have met men, like I said, you know, they were in an awkward situation. They, you know, they were on the, quote-unquote, the down low, borrowing that term.
Mm-hmm.
And like I said, you know, they're having to do something, you know, go act out this desire without telling anybody.
Yes.
And that obviously creates some complications in their relationships.
And there's nothing to wreck a relationship. I don't care what it is, gay, straight, whatever. If you are being dishonest in a relationship, that is like a done deal for wrecking wrecking it.
Right.
I mean, you gotta. There are so many major things as trust,
right.
honesty, and respect.
Right.
Three major things you gotta have to have a relationship to stay together. People married for 50, 60 years, and it's because they had those three elements and they stayed on that.
You're right.
And the ones that are being wiped out, one of those elements was not being practiced.
Right. So a question that comes to mind, of course, is what would someone do in that situation? And when I ask myself that question, I think the first answer comes by just be honest with yourself. At least, you know, this is who you are, this is what you want, and this is a situation, good or bad or indifferent.
What you have to do is you got to realize that you might lose this person.
Right.
And you got to accept that might happen. Right. The only thing you can do is come out and tell them.
Right.
And maybe even have to go to certain organizations that have the three-party thing,
right.
where you have a third party in there that's maybe a professional counselor or therapist,
right.
and basically get this out all on the table.
Right.
And then, you know, work it out from there.
Mm-hmm.
But it's, I mean, you got to realize that she could leave, but the idea is you have kids, at
right.
least have some relationship where the kids won't be hurting it.
Of course, that'll depend on the relationship. You know, maybe, hypothetically speaking, a man is bi, his wife's straight. He loves her, but he knows he has that want to be able to go do something, you know, go play around every now and then, you know. So it may have to, you know, kind of just test the water, kind of may just check and see, okay, you know, how do I think my wife would deal with this if I...
And you find it amazing how some women are so flexible and they didn't realize
right.
it. They got people that came out and they stayed married even though he's gay or whatever.
Right.
They stayed married because of the kids.
Mm-hmm.
It's just easier that way. And the woman, you know, they just
became
an open relationship.
They were able to come to an agreement.
Yes.
And of course, you know, well, if some women say, you know, hey, occasionally I do like to be with another woman. And maybe the man, now, you know, again, you know, supposedly most straight men might say, oh, hey, yeah, wow. Well, in practice, not necessarily, you know.
And some men find that disgusting, and they don't
right.
want to see that.
Right.
You know, so it's different. It depends on the person.
Mm-hmm. Anyway, you know, my point being is it's something that can definitely get complicated. So, you know, take it a step at a time, find support, you know, talk counselors or therapists, find somebody who'll listen to you.
That's why I'm so glad that I thought this over for years. Every time I got into a relationship, I would put everything out on the table.
Right.
And then I look at the reaction.
Mm-hmm.
And if it depends on how they react to the information, if how I know this relationship will work or not. You know, you got to kind of, it's kind of like writing out a contract for a job or you getting a contract to play football or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And you have these different stipulations, rules, and things you buy by this contract. A relationship is basically a contract. And basically, when we got together, we had this contract where we can be open and honest
right.
about each other. And we can go out and be with other people. But we're going to be always honest about it. Like,
right.
say, for instance, like you went to the nudist thing today.
Mm-hmm.
You came out and told me, I'm going to the nudist thing. I mean, you told me this week's ahead.
Right.
Is it okay for me to go?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And I always, like, if I meet a guy or meet one of my old friends, a female, whatever, David, such and such is want to hang out, will it be all right with you for me to do that?
Yeah.
And if you have any problems with it, tell me.
Mm-hmm.
I will stop that so quick and it won't happen.
Right.
Because I respect your relationship more than me wanting to go out and have a little thrill, you know, a little
right.
fun. I can sacrifice a little fun, but I cannot sacrifice a relationship because I cherish this relationship very much. So
right.
I always ask, and you do the same thing for me.
Uh-huh.
And it's good that I had a chance to learn that, oh, there are other men out there or women that just like me that wants to have a bisexual relationship and accept it. And we can sit down and have an agreement where we both can be happy and excited
right.
about. and it's, you know, maybe a lot of people should learn how to you know, when they're dating or whatever, if they're bisexual, go to bisexual meetings, you know, bisexual right. groups, you know, bisexual websites.
Right.
So if you're in a dating service, find out they have a bisexual right. category, where they'll put you in that category, mm-hmm. Bisexual. You know, looking for a yeah. bisexual man or somebody that's open to it.
Right. I like the idea you're talking about, you know, finding groups of people, you know, bisexual groups.
Oh, yeah.
Our websites to talk about that. You know, we are both involved in Binet Houston. And when I talk about, you know, Binet Houston, this is not some dating service. You know, we were talking about a support group. People can come to the meetings and say, hey, I'm dealing with this. Can I talk about this?
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, people will hear you. And same thing, a lot of the websites. I think there's one that is called bisexual.org. That's the one that Fritz Klein originally started up. And there are several others where it's possible to just, you know, read, you know, look at, post your questions, you know, read articles people have written, just find out more about this subject, this thing we call bisexuality, and the nature issue with relationships.
And then there's a lot of fun things we do. Like, we had movie night tonight. We just sat down and we had dinner.
Yeah.
We had, like, chili, and it was homemade chili. Ain't nothing like homemade chili.
You're right.
It can never, the canned chili just don't have nothing on homemade chili.
Okay.
And we watch movies that are similar to bisexuality. Sometimes we have gay movies or whatever. Or maybe we just put in some movie like X-Men or something,
right.
something fun that everybody want to look at. And just congregate and have a good time together. Sometimes we have parties like we had Thanksgiving dinner.
You're right.
And a lot of bis, most bis, you know, we do that every year. Pago and Rose's home.
You're right.
You know, that's posted on the website every year, you know.
Yeah.
You know, you want to get involved in that, you know. And then we meet at the Hobbit, like, every third Thursday of the month.
Right.
And the Hobbit Cafe, in between, it's off of Shepherd. Off of Richmond.
Off Richmond.
In between Shepherd and
Kirby.
You know. And they hamburgers, they buffalo burgers, or the bomb.
Okay.
I mean, you go in there, have a good dinner. And like you said, you got a problem, issue you want to talk about, maybe
right.
something you want to know, you can always bring it up.
Uh-huh.
A lot of times we just be laughing and having a good time, but, you know, we can be serious.
Right.
Or we can just have a good time, but just more than just bisexual and bi nad and other bi groups.
Right.
They're not just sexual. It can
right.
be like social groups like any other social group. I imagine
right.
there are other gay groups that are not just sex. It's
right. They would go in
things.
And talk about, say, hey, I'm dealing with a situation.
Mm-hmm.
Tell me your experience. You
oh,
know,
yeah.
Can we, you know, let me talk about it.
I mean, and then the gay groups, where they have to have movie nights, and maybe they have to get together and go to a movie or
yeah.
have a party, you know. Mm-hmm. It's just social.
Right.
But, talk about relationships, and most of the people that are in the binet would be single,
mm-hmm.
and a lot of them would be couples. Some of them would be coupled with a straight person. Some of them would be polyamorous. Well, I've been to parties where a lot of people came there, and they were polyamorous, but because one of their couples would happen to be bisexual, they showed up.
Right.
So you meet all these different range of people.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, then there's the sexual. It's like there's a group that we went to a couple months ago.
Right. Yep.
Where it's bisexual, and it was a sexual, like
yeah,
a like
was
a swingers
a, it,
party.
It was a sex party. We
and went
it
was
had,
so-called
had
a swingers party, but it was in a bi perspective. Most
right.
swingers parties, they're going to say they're bisexual, but it's the woman is bisexual. There's no way in hell you're going to be a male bisexual at these parties.
Okay.
Because it's going to offend these straight men.
Right.
But this party was basically bi. It was mostly males, but women can go.
Right.
And I went there, and, I mean, it was mostly men, but we all had a good time anyway.
Right.
And, you know, it can be mostly women, whatever, how it is. Everybody going to still
mm-hmm.
have a good time.
Oh, yeah. Okay. So we've got a few more minutes here.
And so, I mean, and the phone lines are still open.
Yeah, if everybody wants to give us a quick
like
call. So,
have any comments,
yeah.
any questions, anything,
yeah.
the station number is 713-526-5738.
Yeah, give us a call here tonight, and we got a couple minutes we can spare. Otherwise, a way to contact Robin and I, having comments about the subject, you come to the Binet Houston meetings. Like I said, we have that the third Thursday of the month over at the Hobbit Cafe.
And then we have the Binet movie night at every first Saturday of the month.
Right.
At the Gay and Lesbian Center on 3400 block. Montrose.
Right. Or Richmond.
Okay. Gay Lesbian
Montrose Suite 207. Right.
Okay. Yes, thank you.
Binet does have, Binet Houston does have a Yahoo group. Right, just do a word search on Yahoo. Also, we can be contacted directly via email at byagenda@peoplepc.com. Yes, BIAGENDA at peoplepc.com.
So you bisexual, and maybe you're not for sure. You can hook up with us. We can keep it confidential. We won't put your name all out or whatever.
Right.
You can meet up one-on-one, or we can meet up in a group, whatever, how you want to do it. Because I can understand, you coming out and your family doesn't know, and your job and your social groups, social friends or whatever, and you're kind of worried and nervous. I can understand that. I mean, you got people listen to this show, period, in the closet, underneath the covers with headphones on because they don't want people to hear it. So you got those issues, and then you got people that just bisect out and they just want to have a good time with other people just like they are.
Right.
So it's different ranges of information you can get, and there's other people out there that's just like you, that's going through the same problems as you're going through and having a good time like you're going having a good time.
Right. Okay.
All right.
Yeah.
Let's, I guess I'll stick a little music in her ear, and then I've got a couple little tidbits we'll throw out there for everyone, and before we wrap up the show, I'm in a little bit of a RuPaul mood.
Okay. All right,
and
that's my girl.
RuPaul's got it's got the old standard here, the Ho 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 album. Jimmy's got a couple of them on here. There's a couple of them I really enjoy. And I think I'll save Hard Candy Christmas for later. Okay. I do like that one.
All right.
So let's go with a little Santa Baby.
Okay.
A little jazzy, a little bluesy. Okay. Then come back. We've got an interesting little story to put in your ear. And then wrap up.
Jimmy's not in, so we're going to be a little naughty tonight.
I started off the show playing a song called, the real name should have been Anal Sex, and the other one was called Glory Hole.
Everybody needs a hobby.
Like you said, we're going to be a little naughty tonight since Jimmy is not in tonight.
He's listening, though.
Okay.
So let's go to little RuPaul, and we'll be right back.
All righty.
Santa baby, just slip a sable under the tree for me.
That's right, baby.
I've been an awful good queen.
Very good.
Santa baby, hurry down the chimney tonight.
You better run. Don't walk, honey. Oh, and don't forget to bring the cash.
Santa baby,
like
I wait up for you, dear. There's a baby.
Oh,
so hurry down the chimney tonight.
Don't get
tonight.
He was crazy as hell when you came here, but you and your right damn mind now.
Think of all the fun I have missed. Think of all the fantasy I have a kid.
Because if I have the dollar,
check off my Christmas list.
Count it like it is, girl.
Oh, Santa baby.
Hey, listen.
I want a yacht and really that's nice.
That ain't actually a lot. No,
I've been an angel all year.
I put a lot of miles on my vehicle.
Hurry down the chimney tonight.
TP, the total package.
Tonight.
TP, honey, the total package. Do you hear me?
Tonight.
Say, baby, listen here.
Santa, honey.
I'm not rich, honey.
One little thing I really need.
But if I have the dollars, cash money,
to a platinum mine.
Oh, yes, honey.
Now, baby,
listen here.
Hurry on down that chimney, baby, tonight.
I am from Missouri.
Come on down tonight.
I'm from Missouri, the show me.
I'm not talking about tomorrow.
No, I ain't talking about tomorrow. I ain't talking about tonight, honey.
Believe in me.
Cash money, honey.
Oh, Santa, baby.
Run, don't walk.
I got to mention one little thing.
Huh?
A ring.
That's right, baby.
And I don't mean on the phone.
That's right. What you say?
Santa, baby. Hurry on down that chimney tonight, Daddy, if you know what I mean. Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. You don't want me to get postal on you. Oh, yeah. Tonight, honey. Fake nothing.
Now, you don't want to make me mad.
Uh-huh. Burned up a mink coat?
No, I'm laughing now, but deep inside, I really need this.
She's okay. Serious, honey.
Look here. My feet are all swollen.
Uh-huh.
I'm bloated.
You got water weight gain.
And I'm about to get mean.
Oh, mean, oh, Miss yeah. Charles, honey.
I will get postal.
I've heard, honey.
What, you take me for a fool?
Nobody got a fool.
Come and trim my...
Trim what?
Believe in me.
Cash money, come on.
Oh, Santa, baby.
Yeah, honey, G-Bone Sheet.
Baby.
Yeah, but honey, the room was filled with
a scent of Santa, baby. I'm talking to you, Santa.
Love session. Play it through tone.
Oh, yeah, I
want my driveway lined with a Jaguar.
Hurry down there.
Mercedes-Benz. Cadillac.
Oh,
yeah, you can throw a Range Rover in there, too. No, girls, give me the merchandise. You got some money for me? I thought you knew, honey.
RuPaul with Santa Baby. And coming up at the top of the hour, let's see, this is the first week, so if I remember correctly, it's the Mrs. Schmidtville Domination Happy Hour. I think that's who's here.
Yeah.
Mr. Schmidtville Domination Happy Hour. So
we have ways of making you listen to our music.
We've got a little story I'm going to put in your ear. Thank you to the wonderful, the world's greatest news gathering source, thedailyrotten.com. Sex educators plan a spray-on condom. German sex educators plan to launch a spray-on condom tailor-made for all sizes. Jan Vincent Krauss from the Institute for Condom Consultancy, a Singen-based practice that offers advice on condom use, told Reuters on Thursday the product is aimed to help people enjoy better and safer sex lives. We are trying to develop the perfect condom for men that's suited to every size of penis. We are very serious. Apparently I'm not, because I'm speaking in a German accent. Krauss's dream, which you can find on the web at spraykondom.deutschland. That's spray, KONDOM.DE. Is developing a type of spray can into which the man inserts his penis first, and at the push of a button, it is coated in a rubber condom. It works by spraying on latex from nozzles on all sides. We call it the 360-degree procedure, once around and from top to bottom. It's a bit like a car wash. Krauss says the plan is to make the product ready for use in about 5 seconds. He said it would function more effectively as a contraceptive because it would fit better and not slip. However, before the new condom can be sold in shops, the firm must ensure that the latex is evenly spread when sprayed, as well as optimize the vulcanization process.
Krauss hopes the high-tech condom will be available in different strengths and colors and will be on the market by 2008. He said the spray can will cost some 20 euros or 14 pounds or whatever it is over here as a one-off purchase. Then the latex cartridges sufficient for 20 applications would cost roughly 10 euros. Krauss says he hit upon the idea while considering the difficulty some people faced using condoms and drew inspirations from spray-on plasterers now used in medicine. So, we talked last month about the South African condom, which you break in half and you have wings to throw it down on quickly. And now they're talking about a spray-on condom. Would you just dip your wick in some white latex paint?
That's the image I keep getting. I keep imagining having to just dip your own. So
I go down to the Home Depot and go, I want my willy to be this color.
Yeah, right.
Give me little Dutch boy brand paint.
Right.
That's wrong.
Careful now. Where do you put his finger again?
Well, me and David actually purchased this thing. What was called?
The
Willy.
The chocolate Willy kit.
Where you basically have this mold made out of your Willy.
Mm-hmm.
And once you make the mold, you melt down this chocolate and you pour it in the mold. And you let it cool, and you peel the mold away from it, and basically you have a perfect replica of your Willy chocolate.
Well, you know, if you want something more permanent, they do make build-your-own dildo kit.
Yeah, I've heard of those. We have not tried the chocolate Willy kit yet. It's basically you only do it. The mold's only good for one use. So.
Unfortunately,
so I can't turn around and make a bunch of them and save them for later.
It's like crap. So I'm gonna have to eat this one real slowly.
Unless it's a hot day and then it gets really messy.
Yeah, really.
Can you put in a cream filling?
Oh, like, we probably cream could. On top of it.
Oh, this is after hours. Let me do the math and figure out. Yeah, we're getting really close because. Sadly, I've got one tradition I've been doing here for several years during Christmas when we start playing Christmas songs. The song I usually play to end each one of the week's shows out of, and we've been doing it now 3-4 years. And the way things are going, we'll be doing it for a while. And Jimmy doesn't know how much of a tradition it is. I just happened to slip it in there, but he's going to now. It's an appropriate song, and... Hell, we could play the original, because I do believe he was considered bisexual. It's Happy Christmas, War is Over, and we're originally by John Lennon.
Oh, okay.
And we're going to play Melissa Etheridge's cover of the song. I had to go out and get a new copy of it, because the copy we had was on a CD that's not working well.
Oh, okay.
So I got a... swiped another copy off the net.
Hmm.
This is After Hours. It's Queer Radio with Attitude. If you want to get in touch with us, it's After Hours at KPFT, 419 Lovett Boulevard, LOVETT, Houston, Texas, 77006. Not just a zip code, but a life. If you are not a technophobe and you like to let your fingers do the walking, it's After Hours at KPFT.org. We love getting all your news and stories and that. Get ready. It's the Christmas season, and we've got a long ways to go. Oh, my goodness. We'll be working Christmas Eve.
Yeah.
Christmas Eve's morning, basically.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And New Year's Eve. Yeah, we got screwed out last year when they moved us to Fridays.
Right.
Uh-huh. We would have had New Year's Eve and Christmas Eve.
Okay. Uh-huh.
But we got goofed on that. So this is After Hours. And like I said, coming up top of the hour is the Mr. Schmidt Foil Domination Happy Hour. And as we end this season, as we do every week, Melissa Etheridge.
Yeah. Finance Committee of the Pacifica National Board of Directors has proposed an amendment to Article 6, Section 1 of the Pacifica Bylaws. This amendment would reduce the required number of annual in-person Pacifica National Board meetings from 4 to 3 and would continue the practice of alternating the board meetings among the 5 Foundation radio station signal areas. This amendment will be voted on at the January 26th through 28th, 2007 PNB meeting in Houston, Texas, and by each of the 5 network stations' local station board delegate assemblies. It must pass by a majority vote at 3 of the 5 stations. For the full text of this bylaws amendment, log on to pacifica.org or call 510-849-2590, extension 207, to request a copy by mail. KPFT Houston.
Open Journal is our experiment in community-inspired radio. Regular listeners just like you come to KPFT Studio.
The free program you just heard was paid for by the listener members of KPFT Houston. If you're not already a KPFT member, we encourage you to join with us in keeping free speech alive by becoming one. Basic membership is still $35 a year. You don't have to, but you'll feel better. Thanks for listening.